Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Welcome to our live prophetic talk show. Again, we're here, and I'm going to be ministering to you tonight, so get your hand up in there, and let's believe God for whatever you need tonight, all right? Yeah, all right. So what time is it? Oh, 6 minutes after. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's believe God for information that you need tonight to encourage you, to build you up, to make you laugh, to make you cry if you need to cry. And everybody needs a good cry once in a while. And how about a good laugh? That's we need that too. So let's believe God for all this stuff. And hopefully you're going to get some of that tonight, and we'll see what goes on. But either way, God is good. And his word is for you tonight. So jump in there and get some of that. Make sure you get your hand up tonight. We do every Wednesday. We're going to minister to every person. We're not going to do a lot of talking. We're going to spend time just going from one person to the next. So get your hand up. Get in early when you can. Some people have different time zones. I know some people call in later on in the show and get in later so they know we're going to be going for a couple hours. So do whatever you need to do. But make sure and get in. We want to make sure we pray for you and believe God with you or whatever it is you need. All right. Okay. Let's do this thing. All right. Let's go here and give me a second. All right. One more time. Here we go. All right. I'm going to get a screenshot of that. That way we know who all is in line and when. And if somebody gets booted out of line, you can go back and get them. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right, tonight I want to share with you some little nuggets, things that I've learned about everyday things that go on. And, you know, I want you to try to understand, you know, some of the things that mess with you emotionally every day. Little things that if you're not aware of them messing with you, you'll think it's the devil or you'll think that it's, you know, something's going on, something weird's happening. You know, you have those days, right? I have those, and you're going to have those, and everybody has those. So I want to share with you tonight a little bit about some of those things that mess with you when you don't even realize it. Yeah. All right, I even kind of made a little list. It's not a big list, but it's a little list. But, you know, I was coming home tonight, and I was feeling just kind of like, you know, I've been really working hard the last few weeks on all kinds of business stuff, putting together things for our new, you know, those that have been called to PGN and to help PGN financially. We're setting up an account for you, investing PGN's money into it for you and into the market. And as the Lord gives words, as the Lord gives us words, we're going to invest for you on your behalf. They're going to cost you a thing. It's all for those that have been giving and faithful to PGN for, you know, a long time. Some have come and gone. Doesn't matter if you're back. You know, we're going to put you in there and take into account everything you've ever given and done. And, because it's to those who are called to PGN. That's what it's all about. So we're help me praying that we get all the paperwork and get everything done. We're doing all kinds of things right now. So so pray with me about that. I'm busier than usual, and So I need your prayers especially. But sometimes that can get you down. Being tired, having too much going on, having too much, sometimes mental work, going out and getting paperwork and trying to find papers and going on the internet and trying to find out what you need. And then you try to go find what you need in your pile of paperwork. And no matter how organized you are, sometimes there are just some things, like they've been asking me of things, the trading company that we're using, when you set up something for a church or for a nonprofit corporation or 501c3 corporation, there's a lot of paperwork. And they're really strict. They're stricter than they used to be about making sure you get it all right. So we're having to go back and dig into our stuff, and I'm having to find stuff that I didn't even know that I was supposed to have. But I've got it, but I didn't, it's like been a long time since I've seen it. So we're going back, and if we don't find it, we go to the IRS or to the state, and we order copies of it and that kind of thing. So we're doing all that. So pray for us. And that kind of works sometimes. I'm talking about tonight things that might sometimes – when you get tired emotionally, when I work physically, I get a little tired. But when I work emotionally, when I'm working mentally and trying to do things, put things together, especially if I'm not used to it, mental work sometimes wears me out more than physical work does. I'll be more tired from really not really doing that much physically, but doing things mentally. Trying to, like I said, I've been trying to find paperwork and. Where's it at? Okay, let's look for it. If we don't find it, we got to order it. And then we got to fill out all the paperwork for them to order the right one. And, the whole thing is just, that's one of the things that will wear you out. And you'll start thinking the devil's coming against you. And you'll start thinking, that am I having a bad day? And just realize, oh, yeah, I'm tired because I've been doing something that I don't normally do. Every time I have any kind of a battle, especially emotional, any kind of battle, I always look at what have I been doing different. One of the first things that I do, and you need to do, you need to write this down. You need to, when you're having a bad emotional day or tough emotional day, one of the first things you need to do is, okay, what am I doing that I don't normally do? Because when you're doing things you don't normally do, it's just like exercising the muscle. You may do 5 push-ups a day, and then all of a sudden you do 10 push-ups. The next morning, you can't even hardly get out of bed. Right, because it's like, whoa, dude, I can hardly move. What did you do? I don't know. I think the devil's trying to kill me. Oh, wait a minute. No, I did 10 push-ups yesterday when I used to do 5. Yeah, so there's things like that in the physical realm. There's also, the spiritual warfare that goes along with all that. But if you don't realize, where the source of your battle is at and recognize it, I did 10 push-ups yesterday instead of 5, and that's why I can't move, and that's why I'm sore. So that's one thing you consider in your warfare catalog of, or your filing system. Like you look up, okay, what am I battling today? Am I fighting flesh and blood? We're not supposed to do that. What am I fighting for? What's the fight about? And so you have to start going through, like when you take communion, you examine yourself. So there's something very interesting about examining yourself. Anytime you're in some kind of a battle, I don't even care what the battle is, start examining yourself, especially if you're doing things that you've not done before. Okay, so there's one thing. Another thing is eating. Sometimes when I eat, after I eat, I used to think, man, what's going on, man? I just feel really down. I feel sleepy. I feel tired. I must be really tired. And all it is that your body is digesting that food, and you go through, being tired. And so if you don't recognize that, there's times before I have to say I'm not real up on some things, and I never was really up on the information about when you eat, what your body goes through and what it does to you emotionally. The foods you eat, friend, can affect you emotionally, mentally. They can cause you to go into what feels like depression, for a half an hour or two. And if you start yielding to that and thinking that, I'm getting depressed, and you start thinking you're being depressed, then the enemy's going to come in and go, yeah, you're depressed. Yeah, you're depressed. And he knows good and well it's the food you just ate, and it has nothing to do with your, quote, depression, right? And so that's another thing you got to think about. And that's really a big one, your food. And the foods that you eat, it's not just eating bad foods, but eating good food, that your stomach starts going to work. So what I've learned to do the last, you know, few years is when I eat something, if I can, I go on a walk. Or if I can, I run to the gym. If it's hot outside, I go to the gym, find somewhere. Maybe some people walk in a mall, but I go for a walk. Because what happens is when you walk a little bit or get some kind of exercise after you eat, is that it turns that energy from oppressive mental feeling down and tired to energy. You see what I'm saying? So you may not be able to do that. You may have to go to work. I don't know. But I know there's times that, you know, that you can try to get some type of exercise right after you eat. It doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be big. Just get out and try to walk or get some kind of form of exercise, because that doing that causes your body to start eating it up as energy instead of as storing some, you know, whatever, just storing it up, and it becomes blah material. Instead of energy material, it becomes blah, 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 blah. And you feel blah, 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 right? All right. And I think most people do. I think it's the thing that affects most people. So your food you eat, you got to examine yourself. Why am I feeling, all of a sudden, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling sleepy, I'm feeling tired. I wasn't tired 30 minutes ago. Well, you just ate a hamburger, or you just ate, you know, some, maybe ate some sweets. Sweets will mess you up, friend. They will mess you up. The wrong kind of sweets. Good sweets are good for you. Now, it's not that I don't eat, you know, a sweet thing, you know, once in a while I will. But 90% of the time, I'm eating healthy. I'm eating healthy. And the sweets that I eat are apples, you know, and whatever your favorite fruit is. And make sure you don't get a fruit that's not too sweet, because if you get it too sweet, if that messes with you, then it's going to mess with you emotionally. You're going to feel bad emotionally. Right? All right. So if you're writing those things down, write that down, because your food thing will affect you in a way that you think you're in warfare. And if you start thinking you're in warfare, then every time you eat, you're thinking, man, this warfare is coming on me like real regular, like three times a day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's just very real. And if the enemy knows that you're ignorant of that and you don't know what's going on, he will spiritually start to convince you that you have some issues. He will. He'll convince you, because he'll use false signs to cause you to think something that's not there. Somebody came up with a really great thing about fear: false evidence appearing real. Evidence, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. So you're not really depressed or down. No, your food, you're digesting food. Or if you're eating sugars, a lot of sugars, that sugar is going to may give you a high for a little bit, but then you're going to come down. When you come down, you have to find a way to get back up high again from the sweets, right? And if you don't know that by now, you might not want to figure that out, because it's going to cause you emotional trauma, because it's going to your brain. That's those sweets, everything, it's going to your brain. And bad sugars, this is a scientific fact, that bad sugars, you need good sugars. You need sugar. That's why your body craves sugar, because you need good sugar, fruits and that kind of thing. But when you have bad sugars, it causes your system to disconnect from communicating. That's what bad sugars do. And therefore, there's no communication. Therefore, you feel like blah. Why not? Blah blah. There's no energy. There's no passion. There's no, you know, you feel blah blah blah. And that, because we're talking about the blahs tonight. There's a lot of things that make you feel blah. But if you start realizing what it is, some of the things you can stop doing, like eating sweets, eating the wrong sweets, eating sugars. Yeah, if you have something once in a while, you know, it's what you do daily. If you have bad sugars, what I call bad sugars, every day, then that's going to mess with you, right? So I found a good balance. I may have something once a week, something like that, a little bit, and then that's it. And then I go, you know, because it makes you want more sometimes. So you got to learn to just have maybe one time a week or whatever. But whatever you do once a day, give us this day our daily bread. The reason that powerful scripture is so important is because what you do daily is what changes your life. Okay, friend, I hope you're hearing this. What you do daily changes your life for good or will change your life for bad. What you do daily. You do something once in a while, you know, that with your body eating something that's not that great, your body can get rid of it. But if you keep pushing it in there every day, then your body can't push it out, and pretty soon it starts building up a bad thing. And it builds it up and stores it. It stores it as fat. It stores it as a tumor. It stores it as poisons. It stores it. So, you know, so we're not being dogmatic about this, right? I'm trying to bring you something that you can live with, hopefully. So you need to think about this, because we're talking about battles. Sometimes you think you're fighting the battle, a battle with the enemy, and all you're fighting a battle with is what I'm telling you about. And there's a lot more I want to tell you about tonight. So get ready, right? This is just everyday stuff, you know, basic, simple things that make you think bad moment or a bad day. When you realize what it is, like with me, with the food thing, getting up and doing a little bit of exercise, if I can, I just deal with it. But just knowing the fact that you're feeling a little bit blah is because you just ate something. And because you can know the truth sets you free. Therefore, you may still feel blah, but the enemy's not able to come in and harass you and tell you, you know, you have a depression problem about three times a day. It's starting to get really bad, you know, and all it is food. Right. So we got to realize that, because he's a deceiver and a liar, and he'll do anything to get you to believe a lie. Once you believe a lie, then he'll make you depressed three times a day, whether you eat or not, whether you do everything perfect or not. You see what I'm saying? So we got to wake up to that. Another thing is, and this is going to be may blow your mind tonight. I don't know if it will or not, but one of the things that also messes with you is a full moon. Because a full moon, it's pretty well known that a full moon, during full moons, women show up and give birth to their babies. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. That's a pretty common fact, that women show up full moons to have their babies. In other words, a lot of kids are born on full moons. Why is that? Because it's some spiritual thing? No, because when the moon is full like it is tonight, it puts pressure on the earth. So therefore, you're feeling pressure. Tonight I was feeling a little bit, you know, like down. I was on my way, you know, to come minister at the studio, you know, and so I thought, man, what am I feeling so bad for? And I looked up and I saw this big, beautiful, full moon. I mean, it was big and it was beautiful, and I knew exactly what it was. So I know this may sound crazy. I don't know where you guys are at on all this, but that's a fact. That women, their babies, with they're getting close to having their baby, many times they will have it on a full moon, not because of some spiritual thing of witchcraft or the blood moon thing, but it is more about the pressure, like, that comes on the earth when the moon is like that. And it literally, physically, will affect you. Physically, literally, it will affect you. So I looked at the moon, I thought, oh, wow, there it is. That's one, because I was kind of feeling like tired and blah, and I don't usually feel tired and blah, you know, although I have been working extra, and I thought about that, but also, you know, I put two and two together, that the two things I put together was I've been working a lot with my brain, organizing more than usual, and trying to figure out things a lot more than usual, and also the full moon, so that puts pressure on you. And if you're already tired, if you're already working too much, you're not getting your sleep, getting your rest. And it's not just about physical rest. It's about emotional rest. You need to learn to take a Sabbath. A Sabbath is rest. One of the things you take a Sabbath for, friend, is to rest your mind. That if you don't give your mind rest, God made your brain to rest one day a week. In other words, don't do a bunch of extra stuff. Find a day where you are resting your mind. If somebody tries to get you caught up into some emotional trauma, get away from them or rebuke it or do something. Don't yield to it, because you've got to have one day a week where you're resting your mind. That's what the Sabbath is about. That's what, you know, it doesn't have to be Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. It can be Wednesday. It can be any time. You know, just make sure you try to get one day out of the week where you're actually resting your body. And especially your emotions and your mental area. Because if you're taking a Sabbath, if whatever Sabbath you choose, whatever day you choose to rest, if people are calling you and You want to just leave the phone alone because or don't get into turmoil situations with people because that is working your brain. It's working your emotions. And if you don't give your brain a rest once a week, one way or the other, and your body, friend, you're going to have warfare, and it's not going to be because the devil so much, although the devil's lying to you and telling you you don't need to rest. The devil's lying to you and telling you you don't, because he knows if he can keep you busy 7 days a week all the time and you don't have a Sabbath of some sort, then, friend, he knows that that within itself, that your brain, God made us like that, and the devil knows that we've been made like that. Therefore, he will lie to you and tell you, oh, you don't need that. And pretty soon you're going to find yourself mixed up and confused, wore out. The devil hits you a little bit, or full moon comes down, a little bit of pressure there, a little bit, and you haven't rested. It's going to make you feel like, oh, pray for me. I'm in warfare. So I start asking people questions when they tell me that, you know. And so because sometimes it's a mix of things that are messing with you, and these are very real things. This is not some weird, crazy thing going on. But literally, the full moon puts pressure on the earth. That's a fact. And it puts pressure on you, and it really does. So remember that. All right. Let's see. I've got to go to my list. I haven't gone to my list yet. Let's go to my list. All right. Some other things that have happened to me is that I have sometimes being an intercessor and a prayer warrior, sometimes I pick up on people's stuff. Like when somebody's going through a battle, sometimes I will be with them in that battle. And I'm feeling it. And but, you know, I examine myself. See, the thing that you want to do is every time you get in the battle, just don't automatically, oh, I bind the devil. Yeah, well, do that. That's good. But go a little further and examine yourself and ask yourself, did I rest this week? Did I just eat some food? Is there a full moon? It's a pressure on the earth from the full moon. Am I in obedience? Am I walking in obedience? Sometimes you get sad because of disobedience. I know I did. You know, sadness is a sign sometimes of disobedience. And, yeah, so that plus picking up somebody else's struggle in battle, that one sometimes is hard to deal with. It's hard to know whether you're doing that or not because you just don't always know, right? You don't always know. Sometimes God will show me supernaturally, and I don't know if there's much hope of finding out any other way than just asking the Lord for wisdom about that. God, am I carrying somebody today? Is this why I'm feeling this way? Because so you must learn to examine yourself and learn how to reason out things with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, with everyday practical things like taking a break, resting your brain. If you're not resting your brain and resting your body, you're going to have warfare, but that warfare is going to be self-manufactured. And nobody can stop. Nobody can change that. You'll be doing your husband or your wife or your children or your boss a favor if you take some time one day a week and rest in every way, physically, emotionally, mentally. God had us do that for a reason, because when you don't do it, you come under attack from the enemy very easily, and he can take you down easily, because that's why God wants us to rest, so that you're strong, not just physically. It's not a physical thing only. It's emotional and a mental thing. So if you're resting physically, but you're not resting from the stress of all your children calling you every 5 minutes, say, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, you know, and or whatever, or some boss or somebody, whatever, messing with you when you're trying to rest, believe me, you will be doing them a favor if you just shut them off. Unless it's an extreme emergency. Some people live in emergencies. I've seen it. I've watched it. I can tell some stories about that one, but I'm going to do that. So these are some things, friend, that I believe God wants you to start examining yourself. And there's some other things too, but these are the kind of the things that are right off the top of my head that I've learned over the years. Like sometimes in the mornings, sometimes if you have I don't have blood sugar issues because I bought one of those little things not long ago, and I started checking my blood sugar on a regular basis to make sure, because I don't really go to the doctor. And you can go to the store and buy one for like $20, something like that, and test your blood. And so I started testing my blood, you know, all these different, after I eat something, get up in the morning, when you haven't eaten anything for 8 hours, you test it then. And so I found myself, my blood sugar was good. But one of the problems I was having, and I've talked about this on the show many times, is that every morning when I would wake up, you know, I would just kind of like, couldn't quite wake up. Even if I had coffee or whatever, I couldn't quite wake up. And I'm going like, what is wrong with me? And I had a little bit of anxiety, like is something wrong? It wasn't bad, but it bothered me. I noticed it. I felt it. And being an intercessor, I thought, well, I'm examining myself, going, okay, am I picking up somebody? Something wrong? But it was every morning. It was every morning. And so by the grace of God, believe this or not, you can take it. I've been doing it for years, and I've experimented with it. Even after years of knowing that it works, I still once in a while don't eat oatmeal in the mornings, a big mouthful of oatmeal with a little water, chug it down. You can take it, you can eat it however you want to, but don't put a bunch of junk in it. And friend, I guarantee you, if you do research on oatmeal, you will find out that oatmeal is one of the most powerful foods that we have. And if you'll start out your day with it, even Pat Robertson, who's an old man, one of the things, I did research on him a few months ago, and I knew he had some good things. He's doing pretty good. He's way up there, and he's still thinking pretty sharp. So you listen to people like that. And so I went, and so one of the things he tells people to do is have oatmeal in the mornings. In fact, he'll eat oatmeal in the mornings, won't eat anything for a while. Yeah, because he says that, and the way he puts nuts and raisins in it, and no sugars. I can't remember exactly what he puts in it, but a little bit of honey, things that are good and natural. And so believe it or not, friend, those things like that, even if you don't like oatmeal and like what, eat it like medicine, because when you take medicine, you don't like it, right? So think of it as taking medicine. Well, I'm eating oatmeal. Ugh, yuck. Ugh. However that's hitting you. But friend, it stabilizes it's good for your heart. It does help your blood sugar. It helps a lot of things. Do research on oatmeal. And you may find out if you feed your children oatmeal in the morning, they may not be so hyper, and they may not get tired as fast, because there's something strong about oatmeal. That's why horses eat oats. Flint, I'm giving you information that I've been working on for years and years and years. And this is all proven stuff that I'm telling you tonight. And this is kind of a different show tonight because I'm talking about something completely different. But I really think people have a lot of unnecessary warfare during the day because they think something physical that they're doing, what they're eating, what they're drinking, a full moon, believe it or not, things like that, all those things. Believe me, they cause you emotional and mental blah days. And when you have enough of those blah days, the enemy will convince you that there's something wrong with you. And you start believing it, pretty soon he's convinced you, and then you do have a problem. You see, and also resting. Resting is huge. You've got to learn to not just rest your body on that day, on whatever day you choose, but rest your soul, rest your mind. And I guarantee you, the way the enemy gets involved is as soon as you start trying to rest your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your body, I mean, things will start going on. You know, you'll start thinking of things you need to do that you hadn't thought of in 20 years. You know why? Because the enemy does not want you to do that. That's where he gets involved. He will lie to you and tell you that's not important. You don't need that. You do better when you're busy. When I take my Sabbath, I take on a lot because I just like a Sabbath that has a lot in it. But you know what, friend? You're not resting. And God made you to rest. And if you're not doing it one day a week, somewhere or another, sometime or another, you're going to have problems. Mental and emotional issues will get on you. And if you deal with chemicals, you deal with chemicals every day, sometimes that can mess with you too. Taking virgin coconut oil, believe it or not, will help rid you of a lot of those poisons in your body. It did it to me. Virgin coconut oil. You can buy it at any store, just about any Walmart, just about anywhere, and get the virgin coconut oil and start taking it a little bit every day, a couple of spoons a day, maybe one spoon a day, and maybe half a spoon, two or three times a day, something like that. But start taking it, get it in your system, and it will help, wash out and cleanse those. These are natural things that God has given us. Sometimes prayer, it's not that prayer doesn't work, it's that God has given us the natural foods to satisfy and take care of our bodies, and yet we do without them, and then we start getting sick. We want Jesus to heal us when he says, why don't you just do what I gave you? Eat what I gave you. Do what I told you. Rest. You're having problems because you're not resting. It's not because you're a bad person. You're not resting once a week. Then you fall under temptation, and on and on and on it goes, man. Believe me, this is some good stuff you're getting tonight. It's some really good stuff. And you need to really consider it and really open up your heart to it. All right. So here we go. Okay. All right. Let's minister to people tonight. We're going to stop right there. I had a message on light I wanted to share. But we kind of really got into that tonight, or I did. And hopefully you're listening to that information and you're not taking it lightly. lightly. Hope you're taking it serious. And take it serious. Take what I just told you very, very serious. Don't just say, believe me. I wouldn't be even spending my time telling you on the show if it wasn't important. I mean, the full moon thing, most people think, oh, that's just a spiritual. That's the full moon is spiritual. No, it's not. It's physical, literally physical pressure on the earth. That's what it does. And it will mess with you. Yeah. So there you go. All right. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. And if you listen to that and you start doing what I just shared with you, start practicing it, and there's a lot more I could talk about and a lot of other things in the natural realm to help you, you're going to thank me someday when you realize some of the stuff that what I share with you tonight is supernatural, big time. Oh, let me go ahead and tell you one more thing, and then what they call it. Water. Drink your water. I told you the story many times about my pastor. I was the house prophet of that church for 10 years. And eat healthy and exercise. Exactly. Shannon says eat healthy and exercise. Right. I forgot about that. That's what I do every day. I tell y'all I do that every day. And you don't have to be it doesn't have to be real big. Keeping your body circulating is what keeps you healthy. It's what gets things out of your system that might get stuck in there. Hey, you're sitting around all day long. And unless you can't get up and do something, absolutely can't get up and do anything. Eat healthy. There's a lot more things we could talk about. But one of the things I want to say right now is, thank you, Shannon, for that, but is your water. Make sure you drink the water because your body is made to function with water. And if you're giving it coffee, tea, and juices, people drink that Gatorade stuff. Gatorade, it's all fine. But if you think that's going to take the place of your water, you are fooling yourself. And this is a proven fact. I told about my friend, my pastor's my pastor's mother, who thought she was dying. She was up in her 70s and thought she was dying, thought it was over. She told her son, I'm going to go to the doctor. I know you can tell me something really bad. Goes to the doctor. Doctor couldn't find anything wrong with her. And he told her, he said, the only problem you have is you're dehydrated. The reason you feel so bad emotionally and physically and like your parts of your body are hurting and aching, and there's no cancer in you. There's no nothing in you. You're not drinking your water. You are dehydrated. Well, I drink coffee. Well, I drink, tea. Tea's good for you. I drink Gatorade. But you're not drinking water, honey. Drink the water. Drink the water. You don't drink water, your body is going to dry up on you. When it starts drying up, it's going to start causing pain. And then it'll eventually quit functioning correctly. Yeah. So, and there's a lot of things we could talk about this. Like Shay said, to eat right, you know, eat good. It's not that you can't get a little thing once in a while. You know, it's what you do every day that makes you healthy or makes you sick. If you eat sweets every day, the wrong kind of sweets every day, that's going to make you sick. You're going to get addicted to it. It's going to make you sick. It makes you sick slowly, so you don't know it, but it still makes you sick. So have it once a week or something, but not every day. Do not do it every day. And if you do it every day, it's going to mess you up, friend. And then drink water. That's if you're not getting water. Water flushes you out. Find the balance that you need for your water, but make sure you're drinking water every day. It's going to cause you even emotional pain and suffering. Physical, emotional, mental pain will come from not drinking water. Believe me, I know. Okay. All right. There's other things. We'll talk about them in the future, but you need to know that this stuff, because this stuff will change your life on an everyday basis, everyday things that you do. It will change you every day. When you find everyday change, friend, you're going to find yourself like going, your battles are not going to be near as bad. Yeah. You're going to start working your way through life a whole lot easier. And you're not going to have near the struggles and near the battles as you normally do. All right, y'all. Make sure. Can you hear me? Okay, I just plugged my. Good. All right, we're gonna take our callers tonight. Let's go here and do this thing. Okay. All right, let's take our callers right now. All right, 469-396. Can I talk to you, Reverend, please?
Yeah, here, Andy. It's Garrett and Candace from Texas.
All right. Hey, you guys. Good to have you. All right, Garrett and Candace. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Garrett and Candace. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Garrett. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving him that place of fellowship. Father, that fellowship place, that place of fellowship, where he can fellowship with what he needs, to how he needs to fellowship, the way he needs to fellowship, and the people that he needs to fellowship with, God, that you're going to bring him to a place of communication and fellowship, because when you fellowship with the right people, you're in the right place. You know, it just makes a big difference on how strong you are, and you know, bad communication or bad company ruins good morals, but good company, you know, kind of helps encourage them. You know, good company changes everything, right? Yeah. So it's like so I see the Lord, you know, showing you how to have good company, and that company is not just human beings, but it is the company that you have on the inside of you. Like, I was going to preach the message tonight. I didn't get to it, but about the light that you have within you. And what kind of light is it? That light, is it darkness, or is it, you know, like, not darkness, like evil stuff, but is it just human intellect? Do you live off human intellect? The way you think, is it just human intellect, you know, trying to do good things with human intellect, or is it by the light of God's word, by the light of the Holy Spirit, not just scriptures, but the quickened scriptures, the lighting up of God in your life, and taking life and making it full, and making, because when you're in the light of God, things make sense to you. You may be going through battles, but your battles, you always have purpose to them. You see what I'm saying? So your battles have purpose. And when your battles have purpose, then that changes everything. then even when you're a battle, you know you're in a battle, but you're like going, oh, well, there's a purpose going on with all those things. So God's going to start showing you the purpose of your battles, the purpose of the things that you're going through. And when you start seeing that, then it doesn't mess with you as bad. In other words, you don't, oh, it's out of control, the devil's getting me, we're going down, it's not going to happen, blah, 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 all that stuff that comes against us all. And so God's really going to show you how to spend time with, you know, with the Lord and with people, you know, that you're entertaining good thoughts, those kind of things. God's really going to deal with, help you understand and help you walk in the realm of who you spend time with, what you spend time with, your thoughts. Are you in the light? Are you walking in the light of God's word? And I'm not just talking about just scripture. I'm talking about the light of it. In other words, it's speaking to you. It's doing something for you. It's helping you understand things. The light of God's word isn't just memorizing scripture to say, oh, I know 10 scriptures, I can memorize them. No, it's when the light shines on the scripture, it gives you light and to help you understand what you're going through and why you're going through it. Yeah, I gave a message on, I think, Monday night that if you need to go back and hear if you get a chance, because it really explained a lot of things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and God's showing you why you're walking through a valley. That's the whole thing about it all, is why you're walking through that valley. It's not that you just walk through a valley, but why you're walking through it and walking through it, not laying down in it, but walking through it. It's all about how you think. It's all about how you think about what you're going through. It's the light that's shining in you. If God's word's not helping you understand what you're going through and why you're going through it, you know, sometimes you don't really know everything. You're not going to understand everything, but you'll have a witness in your spirit that God is with you, even though you don't understand it. The big thing you'll have is God is with you, because, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And sometimes you don't understand everything, but you know he's with you. And that's a big thing that brings you through your battle. And God's showing you, showing both of you that, but showing you that. And so thank you, Jesus. All right. And thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight. Candace, Lord, I thank you for Candace. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom, the spirit of joy, the spirit of liberty, God, in her life, and showing her how to not just have it, but to dwell in it, how to increase it. God wants to show you how to increase things, how to multiply things, because when you guys, this applies for both of you, but when you learn how to increase and multiply things, like giving in general, not just giving money is one thing, but giving in general, giving your life away. We've got to make sure that when we're giving, we're not tying a string to it. Like, you know, you owe me now, you know what I did, yeah, you remember what I did. I'm not gonna say nothing, but you know what I – So God's teaching us how to give, because it's in giving that you increase and multiply your life, right? Everything God did, he gave it seed, like the apple says seed, and why? Because it can be fruitful and multiply. So if everything is about being fruitful and multiplying and asking God to show you how to truly give. But sometimes when I've given, you know, it's like had strings attached to it, you know, because when our flesh gives things and does things, it's kind of like, you know, what if somebody doesn't be nice back to you, it's like, you know, you're always nice to you, you're not nice to me. And so God teaching us, he's still teaching me that one, man, teaching me how to give freely without tying strings emotionally or mentally. Right. And so God's trying to do it, because the purpose of that is when you tie a string to something, and we all do that to a certain degree until God shows you how to tie a string to somebody or something, an attachment to that, then you don't get blessed from God for it. It just, you get blessed when they bless you, if they do. But you know when you give unto God that God is definitely going to bless you. And so this whole thing is about learning how to truly multiply and increase in everything you do, because in everything God has in life, it multiplies and increases because God gave it the ability to do it, just like he did everything in the earth, the seed time and harvest. Everything has seed time and harvest. What goes around comes around, right? So it's seed time, harvest. So God's showing you how to plant your seeds, how to give your seeds away and freely without strings attached to it, knowing that someday God will maybe speak to that person to do something for you. Maybe it won't be that person at all. Maybe, but when God does it, it'll be God that does it. And it's a whole different realm. And so God really wants to show you guys, show you, Candace, how to increase and multiply everything in your life. Everything that you do is a seed attached. It's going to come back. So God wants to show you how to, when it comes back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. Hallelujah. And that's a big, big thing, because that's what happens. That's what God uses people. But when God motivates people to do something, then it's different. When we're trying to get them to do something by, you know, tying strings to our help or our giving. Now, you have a job, of course. You know, when you're working, of course you work to get paid, but in the daily process of our job, sometimes we go beyond what we're getting paid $15 an hour. We do the work of a $17 an hour person and only getting $15 an hour. You're giving $2 an hour. See what I'm saying? If you're just, if we're working just $15 an hour, we're giving them $15, we're giving them $14.99. Almost 15, but not quite. And that's all you're giving people? Then God's going to show you how to give $17 worth. When you're only getting paid 15, give yourself $17 worth of your effort into your job. Then you're getting $2 back from the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So there's this really, really cool thing. I really love this stuff, man. The prophetic is so amazing. Yes, it is. So God's going to teach you that. He's obviously thinks you're ready for it, so or he wouldn't be talking about it, so that's pretty cool. Really awesome. All right, let's go here to 325-280. I'm going to talk to you
from Chris from Texas. Chris from Texas.
Oh, hey, Chris. Hey, bro. Good to have you, man. All right. Man, I see this. I saw the, like the prolific, I got the word. Hang on a second. Let me look this up. Right away. I love this. All right. Okay, because the word I got right away was prolific, and I wasn't sure what prolific meant. You might look it up. You might Google prolific, P-R-O, prolific, L-I-F-I-C. That's the word I got when I first got on with you, when you first got on. Okay, so it's of a plant, animal, or person producing much fruit or foliage of many offspring, present in large numbers or quantities, plentiful. Here's an example. Mahogany was once prolific in the tropical forest. Mahogany, I guess it's mahogany wood, maybe I'm gonna, was, okay, so that's just an example. Present in large numbers or quantities, plentiful. Wow, that's really cool. I wasn't sure what prolific meant. I saw the word written in my mind, prolific, and I did not know what prolific meant, brother. I had to look it up first to make sure it was good. I was going to tell you anyway. I had to look it up. That's why I didn't want to say it. But the word prolific, look at that. In the dictionary it says, prolific is of a plant, animal, or person producing much fruit or foliage, or many offspring in captivity. Tiger, here's an example that it uses, Chris. In captivity, tigers are prolific breeders. Prolific breeders. That's an, you know, and that makes me think about, bro, when I'm thinking about this, I did not know what that meant. God is my witness. I should know, but I didn't. I have to just be honest. But okay, so when I'm reading this, the example, and you can look this up, you can Google it under Google, whatever it's called, anyway, prolific, and it'll show you that what I'm talking about is exactly right.
And it says, in captivity, tigers are prolific breeders. So in other words, they in captivity, tigers bring forth a lot of offspring. Right? Isn't that what they're saying? I think that's what they're saying. You know, when I read it for the first time, I have to kind of figure it out myself, right? Yep, Jesus help me. Yeah, but prolific. So he's speaking the word prolific over you tonight. And so in captivity, tigers are – so this reminds me when – I don't know why this, what this has to do with you, but when Egypt was being oppressed by Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, because the old Pharaoh loved Israel, but the new Pharaoh didn't recognize them in Joseph. And so it says that when they were being oppressed, that they increased and multiplied even more so. So that's kind of what that's saying to me, is in captivity, tigers are prolific breeders. In other words, prolific meaning producing much fruit, foliage, or many offspring. So whatever that's meaning to you there, brother, I'm not sure exactly, but it's about prolific definition is producing young or fruit, especially freely. What? Okay, let me click on this thing. Okay, I'm just going to read another example of prolific, or not example, but another meaning of it from another. This is the Merriam-Webster dictionary. It says, producing young or fruit. Producing young or fruit, especially. Fruitful, being fruity, fruitful, especially freely. Producing young or fruit, especially freely. That is hard to make sense to me. Fruitful, being fruitful. Causing abundant growth, generation, or reproduction. Marked by abundant inventiveness or productivity. Marked by abundant inventiveness or productivity. Interesting. Who would have thought, I don't know if anybody else knew what prolific meant, but I didn't. You know, fertile, fruitful, lush, L-U-S-H, luxuriant, productive, rich. Yeah. I'm just prophesying over this, right? I'm prophesying this over you. Abundance, inexhaustible store, S-T-O-R-E, an inexhaustible store, abundance. We marveled at the, because I've gotten this word, it's in the dictionary, cornucopia. We marveled at the cornucopia of the fruits, the meats, the toys, the fresh fish, baskets, the utensils, the leather goods for sale in stalls that lined the streets for as far as we could see. Kind of examples of this, fruitfulness. So I think God's really saying you're going to be fruitful, man. And maybe that means something specific. I really don't know for sure exactly what that would mean to you, but prolific, man, that's maybe you knew what that meant. I don't know, but that's really cool. Wow, prolific. So he's really breathing over you that realm of prolific, of fruitfulness, of, you know, like the tiger produced more offspring when it was even caged up or whatever. You know, it's like they are prolific when they're in captivity or something. Yeah, it's like, so in other words, it doesn't matter what the problem is, what the captivity is, what the issue is. It's like Isaac, when Isaac, you know, he got that blessing on him that he could produce 100-fold in famine. So in famine, oh, here you go. I'm just getting this. This is, woo, chikara, paroka. Car, achekere, pao. Now listen to this, man. I just got this. This is so amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we saw the thing where a tiger. Let me read that again. Let's see, where did I see this at? Yeah. In captivity, tigers are prolific breeders. In other words, they produce much fruit, foliage, or offspring. In captivity. Okay, so watch this, man. Well, I just saw this. So when famine tries to capture us, captivated was capturing the land, Isaac, you could say this, in famine, it's the same tiger as you say Isaac, in famine, Isaac was a prolific breeder. A prolific, you know, prolific producer. So it's almost like in captivity, when captivity comes, it's like, bring it on, devil, whatever you think you can do, because when that happens, we're going to produce more. Just like Israel, the Bible says when Israel was being oppressed by Pharaoh, by the Egyptians, they increased and multiplied even more so. Just, you know, you'd have to trust me on that. The scripture says it. You can Google it if you want. But that's amazing that in captivity, it doesn't matter. The fruitfulness is even more so in captivity or in famine. He produced more foliage in famine than any other time or whatever. Yeah, it's like when the world tries to put us down, when the blessing of God is on you, it causes you to increase and multiply even more so. In captivity, tigers are prolific breeders. That's the example that it uses on. If you can read it, you can read it for yourself there. And this is talking about of a plant, animal, or person. So it's not just a plant or animal, but it's people also. In large numbers or quantities, plentiful. Dude, my God, man, what's God doing with you, bro? I don't know, but that's amazing. I just speak that over you. Hallelujah, that's really cool. Amen, amen to that. In Jesus' name, seal that, Lord. Amen, oh, my brother. All right, 754-240, who am I talking to right from, please? Hello? This is Donald and Tanya, I believe. Donald and Tanya. All right. Thank you, Jesus. What are you doing here? Okay, so for you, okay. All right, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the place of that place of dwelling, learning to dwell. It's like, you know, the Bible talks about in Revelations 20. Where's that at? 23, 22, somewhere. Let's see, where's it at? Revelations, chapter 22 or 23. Let me see here. Even 21. 21 has it, I think. Hang on a second, I'm going to get it here. Yeah, Revelations, there will be no light, and they need no lamp, no lamplight, for the Lord God will illuminate them. They will reign forever and ever. There shall be no light there, no night there. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And then it talks, the scripture said, you know, Matthew 6:22 talks about the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay. So what I'm seeing here is that God's showing you how to dwell in the light. In other words, sometimes we can't, like it says right here, there was no night because the Lamb was the light of the city. So, you know, then it talks about in Matthew 6:22 that your body is either full of light, like your temple, like you are the temple, your body is either you know, you're living off the light, you're seeing things from the light of God, or you're seeing things from the light of religion. That's, you know, that's kind of what we talk about many times. Because we're looking at scripture, we think that it's always going to be light because the Bible is light, but the Bible is not light. What makes the Bible light is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shines the light on the Word, and the Word comes alive. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead by the Holy Spirit. That's what resurrected him from the dead. It wasn't just some, you know, Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. It was the Holy Spirit that raised him. So that whole thing about the Holy Spirit raising, putting light on the Word so that the Word will tell you what to do in a circumstance and situation. So I see the Lord really opening up the realm for you to the light of God's, the light Word, not the Word, but the light Word, the Word that is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. You know, and I see God really bringing you to a place to where you get answers from the Word like never before. So I think we talked about this last night about you, you know, God, the Father raising you, about the orphanage thing and all the orphan, because God has taken you on to be your daddy, be your father. And so this whole thing about the light, that you learn to live off the light on the inside of you, it's actually part of the message I was going to preach on tonight. That's why I knew there's scripture there, because I was going to preach on this tonight, and the Lord took me somewhere else. But learning to live off that light, because when the darkness is everywhere, when the darkness gets darker on the outside, because we can't control the darkness on the outside, the darkness of the enemy, while we're in the world, when there's darkness, we're not going to be able to control that. What the religious people do and the religiosity, not in God, it's going to bring darkness. It's going to look like they're going to think it's light, but it's actually let that light that's in you be darkness, because that light is not really true light from God. It's fake light, fake news. It's fake good news. It's not real good news. It's fake good news. When the light of God shines on it, the light of God shines on Scripture, it means that you can apply it to your everyday life. It's not just a scripture and you're memorizing it and you're claiming it when you go through a hard time. No, that light that comes from that Word will literally tell you what to do and how to do it. That's the difference between the Word of light and just the Word. The Word by itself is dead. The Holy Spirit has to quicken it. The grain of wheat falls to the ground and die. It brings forth life and bears fruit. Other than that, so the Holy Spirit has really, so God's going to really show you how to, he's showing you more. This is kind of added to what you got last night, I think, about that Word, about the Father raising you. Is that the light in you, learning to live, dwell from the light from within, from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. Not just the Bible, but the enlightened, the candelabra. The candelabra in the temple brings forth the light. The light in the temple was lit up. The tabernacle, the inside, it was dark in there. What lit it up? The candelabra. The candlestick. You know, that's what lit it up. And so God's teaching you how to live off the light, because it's not always going to be light on the outside. We're not going to be able to find answers and find comfort on the outside. We're coming to that place. We're not going to be able to find, it's going to be nothing but darkness on the outside. But if the light in you really illuminating and increasing, multiplying, that you're going to live by that. And so when everybody else is getting down and going down and getting in fear and sinning and falling in temptation, you're going to be, you know, walking in the light. You're going to know, okay, I'm not going to go there because I know what it does. And it's the light of God telling you that. It's not, you know, your flesh telling you, trying to be, you know, strict on yourself or disciplined. You know, it is the light of God's Word. So that'll rip. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for quickening her, God, quickening her prayer life, God. Let a new anointing fall on her prayer life, on her seeking life, that she will be finding, not just seeking, but finding. Seeking, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Asking, you shall receive. It's the thing is, as we've talked about many times, it's not just about asking or knocking or seeking. It's about the purpose of seeking is to find. And so I thank you, Lord, that her, a fresh anointing on her, God, when she starts finding things. Yeah, the Holy Spirit helps her find what she needs. Gets the answers for things. In Jesus' name, amen. Fresh anointing on your prayer life. Amen. The life quickening power of God. All right, 610-969. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Shalom. Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from PA.
Okay, hi, Lisa. All right, Lisa. Good to have you. All right, thank you, Lisa, for being with us. All right, thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight. Lord, we thank you for the compassion you're birthing within her, the compassion you're giving her. Compassion doesn't just feel sorry for people and leave them where they are. Compassion goes in there and works with them. And sometimes you do have to take over some things, because when people don't know what to do and they're dead, or they're dead, some people are just dead. They're just dead. They have no life. They're precious people, but they haven't. But they're dead. And when somebody's dead, what do? You can't say, honey, can you make a couple Bible confessions? And they're dead. They're gone, man. What are they going to say? Well, this happens to people spiritually, too. Sometimes people are just dead spiritually. So when you try to talk to them, they're not hearing you, right, so to speak. So God's showing you how to take over that situation. Like Jesus would walk into the house where a dead person was, you know, and he couldn't ask the person, do you want to be healed? He didn't ask the person, what do you want from me? Because they couldn't answer, because they were dead, right? There's a lot of people that are dead that don't know what they want, don't know what they need. Sometimes we have to go in and by the Holy Spirit say, you know, rise up and be healed. Because some people, a positive confession or whatever, get us a scripture, that's not really going to do it. So we have to take over, take dominion and authority, and we have to walk in, because they're dead, a whole different situation when they're dead, and begin to just speak life in spite of what they believe or don't believe. And a dead person doesn't have faith, right? Dead people don't have faith because they're dead. And God's going to show you how to move in the realm of the dead, or the realm of the dead. The realms of the dead. Because, you know, Jesus, that's what Jesus did, you know. And he knew that some people, you know, that's why he just said, rise up and be healed. Your sins are forgiven you. Sometimes he would ask them what they want. Some people's faith was alive. And like the woman who said, you know, but we eat the crumbs from the master's table. I mean, she was a Gentile, but she had faith. When you got faith, that means there's something that we, you know, they can ask for, or they can seek for, because they have faith. But some people just don't have, their faith is buried, it's dead in them. They don't even know they have it. So we understand which is which. Sometimes we go in and we just kind of take over, because you can't ask them questions because they're dead. Even though they're talking physically and emotionally and mentally, they're dead. They're dead in their sins. They are dead in their sins. And God's showing you how to go in and take over, so to speak, for them in their behalf, and speak resurrection from the dead over them. You know, not just physically dead only, that too, but I'm talking more spiritual dead. Right. And we wonder sometimes why in the world people can't, why don't they hear what I'm preaching? Why don't they hear? Because they don't have any faith. A lot of people have faith. Even heathens have faith. Some people don't have anything because they are dead. Every heathen is dead in their sins, no doubt. But just like that Gentile woman, she had faith, right? Some heathens have faith. But some people are so dead, they've been so wounded, so destroyed, that there's no, well, what would you like, honey? They don't even know. It's like they can't even think of what they want necessarily, because it's like, that part of them is dead, and you have to walk in and say, like you would the dead person. If God told you to raise a dead person from the dead, would you walk up to him and say, would you like me to raise you from the dead, honey? What would you like? What do you need? Like, no, you don't do that. You walk in and say, in the name of Jesus, come forth. Yeah, and so we have to do that with some people too, in Jesus' name, because we're not going to get results any other way. You talk to a dead person about what they need, they're not going to be able to tell you, because they don't know. I mean, they can't even hear you, right? The same thing with the spiritual dead. You know, some spiritually dead people can hear you, and some cannot. And so God's going to show you why there's not results going on with some people, because they're dead. not just dead in their sins. They're dead, dead. They're dead, dead. All right? I've never heard this before, bro. It's the first time I've ever heard this. I mean, I've heard bits and pieces of it, but I've never heard this like this. So this is fresh to me. It's brand new to me. So get a hold of this thing, man. Whatever it means, I'm not sure exactly what it's for. It's just kind of a general exhortation, I think, about how to deal with why you don't get results with some people. Because how can a dead person respond to something? They can't. You have to take over and, you know, in that sense, take dominion. Wow. That's just really interesting. I mean, I have never really seen that put together in a package before like that. That's, wow. God help us. Amen. We need help. All right, 972-695. Who want to talk to you, Rick Grum, please? All right, 972-695. I think that's Terrence and Tanisha. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the covering. I feel like I see God. I see you moving into the realm of covering, like God covering you. Covering, this is for both of you. Covering you, like a covering. You know, and I know there's things going on. You know, there's things going on, stuff in ministry stuff and all that. But that's not why. As soon as I saw you and began to pray for you and think about praying for you, I instantly saw like a white sheet or a white thing, and I'm thinking, what is that for? And it's like a covering. It's like God is a canopy over you, a covering. It's like you're covering. I'm not saying you're not covered already. I mean, I don't even know what this means. I'm just telling you what I see. And I see like a white, you know, sheet, like a white thing, like a covering over you, like a canopy or something like that, covering you and, you know, you're shading you from, you know, the hot sun. I don't know, just a covering and protection. And God moving to that realm, and then God showing you how to bring other people into that protection, how to bring people into that covering, because there's a lot of Christians out there in the world that are not covered. They're not protected. I mean, they can act like they are. They can say they are. They can talk like they are. You can tell. I'm watching them, looking at them. They're not covered. They're good people. They're lovely people. They love Jesus. But they are not covered. They are not covered. And so... So I see God really opening that up for you. Oh no wonder I think I called the wrong number. Okay. All right, I think I called the wrong number on that one. I think you guys must have got hung up on or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, the phone had dropped and then.
Yeah, so you're. Oh. Yeah, I just realized I went. I flung down through there and I saw it. Okay, great. Thank you very much. That's Tanisha telling. Thank you, Tanisha. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, people are away from the phone, and if I know who it is, I'll minister to them. Even if I don't know who they are, I'll minister to them anyway, of course. But yeah, I saw that, Tanisha. It's like it was a very gentle, I don't know, how do I say it, soft, you know, like the sweetness of the Lord. All this was in a garment, like a covering. Like a covering, and God is covering you, putting his, you know, I don't know. One of the things I keep thinking about is Ruth and Boaz. And I am not, I hate to say, a lot of people have preached on it, talked about, I've never really gotten that much revelation about Ruth and Boaz. But there was a covering. Let me see if I can find that. What did Ruth and Boaz do on the threshing floor? That's what I want to Ruth. Okay, here we go. I did find something on there. What was really going on between Ruth and Boaz? I'm not very familiar with Ruth and Boaz, so forgive me. That night on the threshing floor. I've heard the interpretation that she was getting aggressive and trying to, you know, get her to marry him, which wasn't true at all. I'm reading this from some site here. Is this right? Of course, it's not right. But what's going on here is that the Ruth and Boaz thing is, because some people misinterpret what when God brings people together, or when God can bring people together. He can bring people together under a business, people together under a ministry. You know, sometimes the Lord just is doing something, and people have all these things that they think, and, you know, whatever. And it's just, they just totally misinterpret it. And the interpretation of this thing is that, Ruth was being, there was something going on. Boaz, make a long story short, Boaz, there was a connection there, and Ruth, got connected to the realm of provision. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to read this, man. Let me begin in this post with claiming that. Okay, I'm trying to read the answer to this. Not, I guess I don't know much about Ruth and Boaz. We might study that, but. So there's something there about covering and spreading. What's wrong with my phone tonight? And there's some of these sites. Anyway, it's about coverings. Sorry, I didn't do better on that. But, so she went and lay at his feet, and it was all a God thing. And so he ended up, God, it was a God appointment. And so we can have God appointments where we get coverings and provision and connections. So that whole thing with Ruth and Boaz was, you know, amazing, because she actually belonged to somebody else as far as the law went. I think it was his brother or something, or her, or somebody, or her uncle. So I can't remember what. I'm not up on that. But he chose not to take her, and Ruth and Boaz ended up getting together, and so ended up being an amazing story, an amazing God appointment. Literally brought her from another land to that place, and so that can be, you know, something in a marriage thing. It could be something in ministry thing. It could be something in business things. But I see God, you know, like that covering thing, that whole covering thing, where there's provision, where there's protection, and then God using you guys to bring other people under that protective covering, where they will find rest for their warfare, you know, from being just open for attack from the enemy in certain areas. And closing off the ability for the enemy to just attack whatever he wants to, whatever he pleases. I'm in a bad mood today. I'm going to go over there and attack Ruth. You know, I'm going to go over there and attack. You know, that doesn't happen when you have that protection and that covering. And so, even though to a certain degree we all have protection and covering, but there's different levels of protection and covering, which has to do with provision, has to do with. Her whole life now was provided for, taken care of, and it was all a God appointment that man could not, you know, stop. And so that's the realm I see you guys stepping into. It's like we're already all protected to a certain degree, but then we move into that place of the secret place, if you will. We go from the place to the secret place. We go from the Holy of Holies to the most holy place. It's like a whole different place, you know, being behind the veil and, you know, being, you know, going into the Holy of Holies. It's like there's something happening there with that, with you guys. And it's for God's protection and his provision, those two things. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up. and causing them to dwell in that place, Father. Thank you for opening that up for them and allowing them to see it, allowing them to have the grace to recognize God in many different things, not just in one area, but in, like, I see you this happening with you in three areas, probably in your marriage, in your relationship, and you're in the ministry, you know, the thing that God's called you to, in business also, those three things. So I know that God, you know, bringing provision for you and protection for you and covering for you in those three areas. Wow, that's pretty cool. Really, really cool. Really, really, really nice. Cool. All right, I love that. That is really awesome. Okay. All right, so let's go here. All right. Awesome. I wish I could explain that better. I can do better later on that with Ruth and Boaz. I kind of didn't do very well on that. So, forgive me. I'll do better next time, hopefully. All right. No, nobody's saying anything, you know, at all. But I'm just talking to myself, basically. Okay. Okay, so 585, are you not there anymore? Because you were next in line and you're not there. 585. 585. Okay. I don't see 585 anyway. All right, let's go here to 803-991.
Hey, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Angela. All right, Angela. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for just, you know, just like God hooking you up, like you're getting the hookup. God is getting you the hookup. He's hooking you up. Yeah, he's hooking you up. It's just the words that come into my spirit. He's hooking you up. Just like that, too. It's like weird, but he's hooking you up, man. He's hooking you up. Like a hookup. Not the hiccups, the hookups. Right. Completely different thing. The hookup. Yeah, the hook up. You know, the hook. We take the word hook. You know, God uses a hook to hook people. God does it. He puts that in their mouth and catches them. Puts that, you know, that hook. And he hooks them in their jaw. Like I see somebody being hooked, like hooking them in the jaw and reeling them in. I don't know what that means exactly, but it's the hookup. That's the way I got it, was a hookup. Angela, the hookup. It's like God's, I don't know what you've been doing, what you've been praying, what you've been yielding over to God, but it's like God is working on hooking up. The hookup, the big hookup. I love it when God speaks to me like that. Yeah, so I thank you, Lord, for opening that up and all that and all the intentions and all the motives and intentions of God that is involved in all this, God's intentions in the hookup, God's motives in the hookup. It's a God thing. It's like I just gave the order with about Ruth and Boaz. You know, there, a lot of people had a lot of different issues with that. But, you know, it was a beautiful thing, and it was God-appointed. And it was a hookup. That was a hookup thing. That was really a major hookup. And because of that, there was, you know, a lot of blessings that came from that. In fact, didn't Christ come from, let's see. Jesus and Ruth. Yeah, how is this related to Jesus? Doesn't the lineage go down? Okay, in Bethlehem, Ruth submitted to Naomi's guidance in Bethlehem. Okay. And became the wife of Boaz. Their son, Obed, was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father, David. Okay, so there we go. I knew there was something connected there. Gosh, I'm just so, oh, some of this stuff. All right, so in Bethlehem, Ruth was submitted to Naomi's guidance to become the wife of Boaz. Her son, Obed, so they had a son, Obed, who was the father of Jesse, David's father. So I don't know if you're still listening, Terrence, it's Nisha, but that's what I saw tonight. I kept seeing this covering thing and wanted to go there, but I'm so ignorant on it. I couldn't even know how to relate to it, but I just knew it was powerful. And so that's also in Matthew 1:1-16, talks about it. Yeah. All right. So very interesting. So that hookup word went right into you, Angela. You know, that's just the Holy Ghost, man. Wow, in Jesus' name, bless that. Open that up. Thank you, Jesus. So, because it meant so when there was a God appointment with people, with two people getting together, it's because when God supernaturally puts two people together, it's the birthing of something miraculous. It's not just, you know, they're going to be able to have babies. Everybody can have babies, mostly. But being able to have a baby that had another baby, that had another baby, that led to Christ was a whole different thing. And so that was the uniqueness about Ruth and Boaz and so I come to you, right? I'm ministering to you. It's like the hookup. That's exactly the word I heard was just like plain as day, like the hookup, just like that, just the hookup. And so God's bringing you the hookup. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Paquero, Abashoke, Pato, Marije, Chica Mato, Pacote. Chiquito. All right, 847, I think you were in line earlier and you got dropped off, right? Who am I talking to here?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. I think you got your call dropped, but I caught it, so I got you there, Marja. Right,
thank you.
Thank you, Marja. All right, you're so welcome. All right. Yeah, because I copied the numbers down before. Things got too messed up during the show. Things just get dropped. So, Marja, thank you, Lord, for Marja. God, I thank you for Marja. God, I thank you for Marja. There's just something about the hookup tonight, y'all. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like I went from Terrence to Tanisha to, you know, Ruth and Boaz thing, which I've never given a word about Ruth and Boaz that I remember. I could have, but it's because I don't know much about it. You know, I've read it many times, but I never got a lot of revelation on it. So tonight, it's like there's this thing about the hookup, man. I mean, and I, you know, when I see something, I know what I see. There's no question with me that what I'm seeing or not. And it's just kind of go from one person to the other. So something's hooking up there, Marja, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Sheki Pawa. Bawaha, 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 Chicano, Bandekra. Come all over her, Holy Ghost. Bring that place, that paheo, shekocha. Bring her into that place, crossing over into the promises of God. Moving over, passing through that valley, to the other side of the valley, to the promise. Because when you go through a valley, if you don't lay down in the valley and you just keep walking through that valley, when you come out to the other side, the purpose of walking through and coming out, Marjorie, on the other side is it just seems like it's never going to happen. This thing, I'm just waiting on God, never going to happen. This seems like it's not ever going to happen. That's what the valley of the shadow of death feels like. Like this is never going to happen. And a lot of people go through this. We all go through it to a certain degree. But when you keep walking through it, thank God for places like PGN that prophesy and encourage people to help them walk through the valley. Because when you come out on the other side of the valley, you enter into the crossing over into your promises. And that's what I see happening with you. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. I decree it. I speak it. I decree it. I double decree it tonight. I double decree. I've never double decreed. I don't even know how to decree. that much. I mean, I know what the word means, but I'm hearing double decree. I double decree, the double decree. I don't even know if there's such a thing biblically. There's got to be, or the Holy Ghost wouldn't be speaking to me. Marja, the double decree in Jesus' name. The double decree, a double decree. Okay, let's go to, I'm thinking of double decree is like sovereignty. Sovereignty, when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he had two dreams. They meant the same thing, but they were two different dreams. But they were two meaning the same, which meant double decree. Double decree means sovereign. But Lord, I thank you for the sovereignty of Marja, bringing that love into her life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Beshe eshe osha oke ocha koma koteri paraba 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 pareo. She got this. Do it, Jesus. I'm just asking you to just do it, Jesus. I'm just wanting to talk like it, like a, you know, what she's talking like. What she talking like that for? I don't know, because that's the way it's coming out of me. Like, you know, the double decree. Yeah. 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 The double for your trouble. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I loosen that on you by the power of God. In Jesus' name. Let it be done according to thy word. Just say it, Margaret. Let it be done unto me according to thy word, O Lord. Bring him on in here. Bring it on in. Bring it on in. All right, he's bringing it in. I see it. I feel it. Tonight's a night. I mean, man, tonight is a union night. A union, communion, union. Yeah, and the double, I want to say double jeopardy. Like, don't they have some, that, when they say jeopardy, double jeopardy, what does double jeopardy mean? Double blessing or something? I don't even really know. Double jeopardy. Anybody watch that show? I used to watch it a long time ago, but I don't know. Double. I'm getting double. Double. Double for your trouble. All right, 903-808. Can we talk to you very quickly, please?
Yes, this is Jeannie from Texas.
Hey, Jeannie, Coco. Not cuckoo. Coco. Like Coco Beanie. Coco Beanie. Hallelujah. Beshe para 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 para. I want to sing a song. Say Sarah Sarah. Whatever will be, you know. It's like that's like God is moving in on that and taking over. Taking over in Jesus' name. Let it be done unto me according to thy will. You know, in that sense we say, Lord, let it be done unto me. Not just anything. I will not receive anything but the will of my Father. I keep hearing you say that in your spirit. I will not receive anything but the will of my Father, but the will of my Father. And as you stand in the gap and you start to rap that little song, I will not receive anything but the will of my daddy, the will of my Father, the will. And we know about the will thing, right? I'm just thinking about that. That's kind of lines up with the will thing. The will. I will not receive anything but the will of my Father. The will of my Father. But I'm not thinking about the will. I wasn't, at least, and I am now, right? Because I know kind of what, yeah. It's like God hung the world on faith. Let me read this. I don't know where this is going, but hang on a second. We're going to go somewhere, I think. Hung the world. By faith. We'll see where this goes. If I can find the scripture. Everyone born. It's in Hebrews. My phone doing this. Hebrews. Okay, here it is. I think I actually found it. Hebrews. Hang on a second. My phone is trying to mess up. Hebrews 11. Sheka, da, da. All right, Hebrews 11:3. I'm going to just look it up in my, now that I know where it's at. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on a second. All right, Hebrews. Hebrews 11:3. I just thought of the numbers I got. 11:34, 11:3, 11:3 and 4. I don't know. Let's see what it goes. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed are hung by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered up to God. Verse 4, here's the 34, 11:3, 4, like my numbers, I got one. The dual numbers, 11:34, about Biden. 11, Hebrews 11, I just connecting this, 3, 4. By faith, there's something right here about this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Oh, dear Jesus. Are you with me on this, girl? See what this is here? You seeing this with the brother? And the whole thing through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and thought it be being dead still. And though through it he being dead, it still speaks. So, okay, I'm really fumbling around tonight. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Watch this. They don't even talk about how Cain killed him or did kill him. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, his brother, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, it still speaks. So he's saying Cain was dead, but his blood still speaks. So, Lord, I thank you for all the blood that's been shed over the jealousy of Cain over Abel or over Jeannie. All the blood that's been shed over that blood is crying out. Sometimes it's not physical death. Sometimes it's just like it tried to kill other things, trying to destroy other things. But God says, I've heard your prayer. And your sacrifice is received by God when Cain's was not, through which he obtained witness. Then Jeannie obtained witness that she was righteous. Or in other words, the way you offer up things, the way you pray, the way you seek God, the way you do it, God says he testifying to it. God testifying of her gifts. I'm putting your name in there, or you. And through it, he being dead still speaks. Hallelujah. Man, I don't. That was a little deep for me, but look at that, 11:34. I mean, you know what the 11:34 is, right? You remember all that. I know you do, but. That just hit me, man. I mean, that is. Dadgum, amazing. Dear Jesus, hallelujah. 11:34, girl. Biska wahache feote what I'm seeing right now is that 11:34 and connecting with Hebrews 3 and 4 and reading 3 and 4 and 4 being, remember 4 was the 4 days after the election, which there was no decision made on that day that it was supposed to make a decision, but 4 days later, 3, and then 4 days later, which was on a Saturday, I came on the show today and I said, if something happens, if 11:30 means anything, 11:34 means anything, then in 4 days from the 3rd, which is the 7th, which November the 7th, means that whatever happens that day, and I didn't know for sure, but and that's when Biden was actually elected and won. That's the day that they said he won. And Trump fought all that. Like Chris. So there's something going on with 11:34. I mean, that just clicked in my spirit, girl. My God. I kept saying Hebrews 11:3, you know, and then I didn't even think about 11:3 until I started looking at literally at the words in the scripture and the numbers, 11:3, and then 11:3. Wow, and 4, and the 4 part being that, you know, God received Abel's offering, the offering. Oh, okay. So it's about the offering. Whoa. Dear Jesus. It's about the offering. Oh. Dear God. Yeah, that's amazing. It's about God receiving your offering that you already, you know, your offering. Abel gave an animal, a cattle or a sheep or something. I don't remember what he gave. And Cain brought fruit. God didn't like Cain's offering. He liked Jeannie's offering. Thank you, Lord. And on 11:34, the day the decision was supposed to be made, it wasn't made. It was made 4 days later. Whatever, I don't even know if that means exactly, but in other words, there's something going on, something unusual and miraculous is in the workings. I don't know how that fits into all your stuff, but I know there's some flickering going on there with it. Wow. Faith at the dawn of history. That's what the title to this, about verse 4. Faith. Now listen to this. I mean, this is, go to Bible Hub, Jeannie, and look up Hebrews 11:3-4. Go and let's see, what version is this? I don't even know what version I'm on. Version is this? Oh, it's the New King James Version. Go to the New King James Version on Bible Hub. Hebrews 11:3-4. This is blowing my mind. And after 3, it has a title for the next batch of scripture. And guess what it says? It says, you'll see it yourself there, faith at the dawn of history. And then it's all talking about Abel. Faith at the dawn of history. All this is speaking something, girl. I don't even know what it means exactly, but get it in your spirit, because drink that in, man. That's like, that's wild and crazy. 11:34, 3 and 4. Faith at the verse, and so before his verse 4, it makes a little subtitle there, whatever you call it. It says, faith at the dawn of history. And then it says, by faith, Abel offered up to God a more. So, girl, I don't know, man, just. Whatever. I mean, that blows. I don't even know how to go with. I don't know where to go with that. That just blows my mind. Yeah, my Lord and my God, what's Jesus doing, man? I don't know. It's awesome. It's always good. That's for sure. All right, 863-268.
Hey, Brandy, it's Nikki.
Hey, Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm doing a little better.
Okay, good. Good, really good. All right, let's pray for you. All right, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for her faith. We thank you for the faith that you've given her. This is not about your faith, Nikki. This is about the faith God has given you. like we all exercise our faith and to get things, you know, from God. God, you know, we learn how to exercise our faith. You know, God tells us to do something, we do it, and we exercise our faith. But this is not, this situation is not about the exercising of your faith. It is about the faith of God in you. It's about the faith of God in you. In other words, the faith of God never fails. Hallelujah. The faith of God never fails. We may fail. Everybody else may fail. But God's faith never fails. And this is not about your faith. Our faith may fail, may not fail. We may do good. We believe. I believe, but help my unbelief. That's our faith. But when the faith of Christ is working, girlfriend, in the name of Jesus, the faith of God in you, come alive in the name of Jesus. Loosen it. Bring forth life. Bring forth power. Bring forth resurrection. Bring forth the delight of the Father. The delight of the Father. Bring forth the delight of the Father. It's the delighting. The Father delights in you. He delights in you. Because you delight in him, and he delights in you. Hallelujah. This is not about your faith. Because if it's according to our faith, well, we may make it, we may not. Right? I believe it helped my unbelief. But not with this, man. The faith of God in you is nothing can stop it from happening. Hallelujah. The name above all names. It's above all names. I mean, that faith is above all faith. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. What's going on tonight? In the name of Jesus. Because the faith of God creates. You don't have to come up with something. God creates in you. Create in her, God. Create in her what she needs. Create in her body what she needs. Create it, God. The doctors, nobody will be able to come up with anything. But God can create by the faith of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not if, maybe, but no. The faith of Christ says yes and amen. And nothing else. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. And I call forth the faith of Christ to rise up within you. I know that that faith is different than our faith, because our faith, sometimes we may get it, sometimes we may not get it. It's just we're learning how to exercise. But the faith of Christ, Jesus always gets his way, Nikki. He always gets his way. Every time he prayed for somebody, because he worked in his faith, the faith of Christ, it always happened. This is not about your faith. This is about the faith of Jesus. This is about the faith of God. And he always wins. He always gets it. When his faith is it, when it's about his faith never fails. Never. That's the fight of faith. We can fight with our own faith and do good. Sometimes we'll do good. Sometimes we don't do so good. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. But no, with the faith of Christ, no, he always, every time he prayed for somebody, it happened. Why? Because it was just the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. Christ's faith. Christ's faith. Christ's faith. In my faith, we work our faith. Our faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. But his faith always, always touched the Father. He always had agreement with the Father because he only did what he saw the Father do. And everything he did, every person he prayed for, everything he said, every time he said, be raised from the dead, he didn't wonder if it was going to happen or not. Am I going to get this one? Am I going to get 50%? Oh, 80%? 90%? No. Well, Jesus, faith, it is 100% done. The pooch. It is done. This ain't about your faith, girl. Use your faith to lean on his faith. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never fails you, never forsakes you, never leaves you. Hallelujah. Weep it out. Laugh it out. Cry it out. Groan it out. Weep it out. the weeping willow. He's taking your harp off, the weeping willow. Hallelujah. Sing a praise to Jesus. Sing a song to the Lord. Glory and honor and praise and victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We may fail. He never does. And this ain't about you and your faith. This is about his faith in you. Hallelujah. My God. Dear Jesus. Sheko Panara. That is final. Done. Closed issue. Over with. It's his faith, not yours. Your faith is awesome, girl. And his faith is exceeding abundantly above all you can ever ask or think or even imagine. Hallelujah. It's not about your confidence. No, it's about his confidence in the Father who never fails him. By golly, I love this stuff, man. All right, 202-722. Where are you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Woo! My God, what's happening, man? I feel resurrection power all over me, my God. I speak to your womb. I speak to your body. I speak to your soul. I speak to your will. Resurrection power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Resurrection power. Resurrection power has no limitations. There is no wall. Walls don't mean a thing. Oh, there's a big wall up over there. So what? Jesus just walks right through the wall, Nicole, in your life, in your will, in your mind, in your soul, in your favor. And Jesus, he favors you with resurrection favor. In other words, it doesn't matter what anybody else favors you or not. The favor of Jesus walks through every wall. There's no wall that can hinder. Not with Jesus, not with resurrection. No, he just walks right through it. And I declare and decree your faith in Jesus, the faith of Christ in you, is resurrection faith in Jesus' name. There are no limitations. There is no failure. There cannot be. There is no wall. The walls of Jericho with the faith of Christ, when they did what Jesus said, when you do what Jesus says, you activate Jesus' faith. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not about whether they believed or not. If they just did what he said, that's all it took. And once you do what he says, the walls come tumbling down. Oh, and then you're like, oh, my God, I almost didn't do that. Oh, my God, I almost didn't obey God. Oh, because that was so big. It was so amazing. Yeah. Joshua goes, oh, my God. So what if I'd have messed up the instruction? It wasn't about whether he had the faith to have the wall come down. Did he have the faith to do what God said? And then when he did what God said, then God's resurrection power and all the walls just came tumbling down, and all the riches and all the things that came from that were amazing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Rise up, my daughter. Rise up, my daughter. Rise up and see. Rise up and know. Rise up and realize. Rise up and speak to those mountains in Jesus' name. Go into the sea in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And believe not and believe in your heart in Jesus' name, knowing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let the trumpets blow. It's like I see the Jericho thing going around. And they went around the Jericho, and then all of a sudden they start, and I heard the Lord say, blowing the trumpets. I go, well, they blew trumpets after they walked around Jericho, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in Jesus' name, let that be done. Let the trumpets blow. Let the band play. Sheko panaro. Carabio bori la corrisco. Fishi pa mama. Pencho kimbaka. Halo. He enlightened you. Ashe, what he's doing. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. We don't have to worry about walls. Oh, I wonder what the weather's going to do today. Well, I wonder how much trouble we're going to have. I wonder how many people are betting against us. I wonder how many people are against us. How many people are against us? How many people are against us? How many people are against us? Oh, my God, if we're outnumbered, what's going to happen? No. Elisha says to the servant, he says, Lord, open up his eyes, Lord. Open up his eyes. Let him see. Hallelujah. That there's more for God's going to give you the mentality of there's more for us than there are against us. So we quit looking at what's against us. We start looking at who's for us. And we can't see that unless God opens our eyes. The servant couldn't see it until God opened his eyes. God opened her eyes and let her see like never before in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter how many, God's into the number realm right now. And the number realm he's into is he always wants us to have less than they have just so he can show off a little bit or maybe a lot. He took down the numbers with Gideon. Why? Because he wanted to say, hey, I'm going to show you something here. You know, when I'm with you, you only need 300 against 300 thousands of thousands. That's the season that we're in. Just get used to it. Get used to it. Yeah. Walls make no difference. Numbers make no difference. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 847-505. Right there. Are you there? Hello? 847-505. All right. Okay. All right, Marja. All right, Marja. Hallelujah. Chica Ochero Obori Fande Pachuli. Pachuli Baroja. I already prayed for you once, Marja, didn't I? I did. You know what? We're going to pray for you again. I'm going to pray double whatever we prayed before. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for double confidence, for double. But like Job got double, like, you know, the double realm, the whole double realm, the whole double area, the double area where you know, you're believing just for one, but you get two. Your faith says, I can believe for one, but you end up with two because something else is working. God's trying to show himself to you as when he adds different than we do. He multiplies different than we do. And I thank you, Jesus, for showing Marja how you add up, how you multiply. Like Jesus, the woman who had the two mites, you know, he added up two mites. They added up two mites, I should say, and added up millions of dollars being given over there. But Jesus added different than they do. He went, no, this woman right here, she added her two mites. I'm seeing her faith. I'm seeing her sacrifice. I'm seeing her yieldness to God. I'm seeing a measure here. This woman is given a measure that outweighs all the measure of all those other people because the measure they're given is not very much of a measure. Yeah, the whole measure rim, God. I thank you for Marja, God, for showing her the measure rim. Good measure, pressed down, shake together, running over. Well, men giving you, but the way God counts, God's going to show you how he counts. He counts different than we do. Hallelujah. It's called grace counting, the counting of grace. Grace abounding, unmerited, undeserved favor in the name of Jesus. Because you know what? There's something about you, Marja, that something's been lacking in your life from parental things or from past. I don't know what it is exactly, where it came from exactly, but God wants to show you that it's not about how much you can do for him, but it's about how much he can do for you, and that is going to do some kind of healing in you, going to do some kind of a correction in you, going to do something in you that God's trying to get something to you. He's not trying to just get something out of you, but he's trying to get something to you. And when that part of you gets whole, gets made whole, your knower's going to know like never before. You're just going to know that you know that you know that God is taking care of me, that God is doing something, that God is working. He's working in my behalf. He is working in your behalf, Marja. That's what God's going to show you, that he's working in your behalf. Hallelujah. In your behalf. You're going to realize it's in your behalf he's working. He's not working in his behalf. He's working in your behalf, and his behalf always works for his behalf. And working in your behalf always works in his behalf, right? Working in your behalf always works for his, because he's working things out for you, for good, in Jesus' name. I see a door unlocking, and I see someone standing there. It looks like a man, and that man is, has a longing in his soul for freedom and liberty. Somehow, Marjorie, God's going to use you to give that or impart that or help him get that. In Jesus' name, that may represent, I don't know what that represents exactly, but there's something to do with the father image in you. The thing that God is really bringing full restoration to is that God is here to take care of you. He's not here for you to take care of him, but for you to let him take care of you. And in letting him take care of you, he's going to cause you to trust him and know him, and he's imparting a trust in you, a faith in you, a faith level you don't even know you have. You got faith in you that you don't even know you have, and God's going to unlock that through this process in Jesus. It's all about unlocking the faith of God in you. Amen. And you unlock by the clock, unlock by the clock, unlocking by the clock, and he's clocking by the walking. He's walking. He's walking and he's clocking, and he's walking and he's opening. And when God opens, no man can shut. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. All right, I think I left that open the whole time. All right, didn't mean to do that. All right, 720-819. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Jeff and Duke in the house.
All right, they're in the house tonight. All right, good to have you in the house tonight. Yeah, in the house. Yeah. Right. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on a second here. All right, in the house, all through the house. Couldn't even hear a mouse. It was so quiet. I think it's like kind of a Christmas thing, right? It's like Santa Claus is coming. I don't even believe in Santa Claus. I know you don't either, but it's like all through the house. It was quiet. Couldn't even hear a mouse. Or how does that go? I don't even know how it goes. Not even a mouse. So there's something going on there. It's like God trying to bring into this thing of the Christmas season is a time where a jolly, happy man wants to make children happy. And there's something in you that wants to make children happy, that wants to make people happy, Yuke, that wants to make people happy. And it's like God's going to do you with gifts and gift you and bless you so you can make people happy. Maybe children happy, but people happy for sure. Maybe both. Maybe all that is the same thing. And a whole generation of people that God uses you to make happy are going to be like a nation. It's going to be like a nation of people. Sometimes a nation of people starts, like Abraham started out with, he went to Egypt with 70 people. And when he got into Egypt and he was there for 400 some years, they ended up having millions, right? So you never know how you start out with a little, but it's been much. Like many times, I've seen stories and read stories and read books and stuff where people that helped people when they were children, and they always remember that person that helped them and kind of stayed in contact with them to a certain degree. And that kid becomes well-known and wealthy and becomes somebody awesome, and he comes back and to that person who helped him when he was a child, he comes back and goes, well, you know what? You helped me, so now I'm going to help. I'm gonna really going to bless you. Now I'm really going to bless you. So it's like cast your bread upon the waters, and many days it shall return back to you, like how you help people, how you have a desire to help you. You have a desire to be, in a sense, like Santa Claus. I hate to bring Santa Claus in that because it's such a bunch of bull, but the story behind that, about the true story about St. Christopher helping people and Jesus helping children, winning up children. So there's something about that. And those children are going to come when they grow up and they raise up, they're going to come back and go, man, you remember when you did this for me? You did it for me. Now I've become somebody. Now I'm wealthy. Now I'm blessed. And now I'm going to somehow help you and bless you or do something for you. Yeah. So in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for that, the confidentiality of the Holy Spirit, that as confidentiality thing, that the confidentiality is extremely important. Confidentiality is something that God teaches all of us. When you learn the confidentiality realm, when you learn to keep confidential what is and keep private what's private, what needs to be kept private, then, you know, God can trust you. And this is all about, Jeff, God trusting you that when he tells you to do something and you keep it confidential, when he tells you to do that, he doesn't tell you to keep it confidential, it doesn't matter. But to God being able to trust you with confidential information, with confidential things, to keep things, you know, secret when he wants to keep them secret. In other words, God gives information to somebody and they start blabbing it around everywhere when we're not supposed to blab it, then God goes, well, I can't really trust that person. So God's really investing in you this thing of trust about confidentiality and doing, you know, what he tells you to do. When God tells you to do something, you just do it. And when you know it's God, you just do it. And that realm of just obeying God and doing what he says, God says, well, because of that, I'm going to trust you with much. You do what I tell you. And sometimes he has you keep it confidential, some things that it's all about trust. He's teaching you how to get him to trust you, right? It's not that God doesn't forgive us, he forgives us, but if you got somebody you keep forgiving them over and over and over and over again, and they just keep doing it, but you keep forgiving them, they never grow. So forgiving somebody is not the point. I mean, thank God for forgiveness, but it's about trust. It's about, can I trust this person? Yeah, I can forgive them all day long, but I can't trust them to come to my house. I can't trust them to be part of my business. I can't trust them to be part of what I'm doing if they're not trustworthy. Well, I forgive them for what they do, but I can't trust them. So what God does is I forgive you for anything. I always forgive. God always forgives. But the trust level is, but when you change, when you quit doing those things, as he sees that he can trust you, then he can trust you with anything. We talk on Monday night. I preached a message. I prophesied a prophetic word about, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, in a way I've never heard it before. And the whole thing about that was that when you go through a valley, what's the purpose of the valley? Because if you don't realize the purpose of, so the purpose of the valley is to know that it's the fear of death, the fear of death of losing things, the fear of losing things, the fear of losing things emotionally, the fear of dying. So the whole thing was a power. So to know the purpose of what you're going through the valley for, that God's trying to put in you, he's trying to see if he can trust you in the valley. If he can trust you in the valley, he can trust you on the mountaintop. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that whole valley experience, for the valley. It's something about the valley. The valley, I walk through the valley. Amen. And you come out on the other side of the valley because God shows you the purpose of that valley. He's trying to teach you to, it's about trust. It's not about, I'll forgive you all day long. You know, God, and like you have to forgive people, you know, Jeff, you have to forgive people all day long. But, you know, but can I trust you, man? I'll forgive you, but can I trust you? And God teaching you how to deal with that. Because if we keep letting people in that keep messing up all the time and tearing up the house every time they come in, is I still forgive you, but you can't come inside the house. You know, bang on the door if you want to. I forgive you. Can't come in because you always mess up everything. Sorry. When you overcome that, and I can trust you, you can come back in. That's what God's saying. You're going to learn to say that to people, and God's learning to say that. He's saying that to you. showing you how to walk in that in a powerful way. Amen. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. It's all that trust, man. It's amazing. It's all that trust. All right, 720-620. Who am I supposed to be working from, please?
Veronica.
Veronica. All right, Veronica. I guess Mike's not there tonight. All right, and here he's squealing in the background of his phone. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for Veronica, God. For Veronica, I think for the same general message, really, is about trust. It's about trusting. We can forgive our children, but we learn to teach them, honey, I forgive you, but I want you to learn to where I can trust you. Because when I can trust you, then I can trust you. Like when I was a kid raised by my mom and dad, I couldn't figure out why my sister could go, you know, she almost got to do anything she wanted to do. But I didn't. I thought they were being respectful of a person. I thought they were being like, you know, they liked her more than me. Like, you love her more than me, man, what's wrong? But it was because she was more trustworthy. She would do more what she said. You know, and not me, when I got out there, you know, I'd go crazy. I was a wild man. I just mess stuff up, come back smelling like, you know, dope and cigarettes and drinking. And, you know, my mom and dad didn't. They were good old Baptists. They didn't believe in that stuff. So they wouldn't let me go out anytime I wanted to. Oh, I got to go out. But Deb, my sister, always going out. Anytime she wanted to go out, Mom, can I go? Yeah, go ahead, honey. Because she trusted her, right? But with me, it's like, you know, your weekend stuff's enough for us. We don't let you go out during the week. We can't already handle it. Because they couldn't trust me. Yeah. And so this whole thing about trust, I got to give them with Jeff and you. So the trail, what's left behind in the trail? What's a trail? The trail of what? The trail of messes lead to, you know, mistrust with people. But so God's showing you how that whole thing about forgiveness is one thing, but trust is another. And so people want us to keep trusting them when they don't earn our trust. And so and that goes both ways with all of us in every area. And I thank you, Jesus, for this whole thing with Veronica, God, that she sees that your hand is upon her, God, to bring people to that wedding vow, to that place of vowing their life to Jesus, to that wedding vow. It's not about just getting out there dating and fornicating. Jesus doesn't fornicate, right? He wants marriage. He wants children. He wants family. He wants purity. And so God using you to, you know, bring people to that point of dedication in their life to marriage to Christ, not just get what I want. Yeah, I'm available when I want to be. You know, it's like when you're dating, it's like, you know, it's not really a real commitment. But in marriage, you know, marriage is what God's trying to bring everybody to, is to cut a covenant with him, a blood covenant. And so God's showing you that, teaching you that, showing you that. It's one of the purposes God's raised you up is to bring the marriage thing, the marriage between the Lamb of God, the marriage of the Lamb, and opening up that whole realm of what marriage means to God between his people and the family, the familia, the family of God, and that marriage realm, and that whole marriages are so, especially different cultures, are a really, really big thing, because that's when the commitment to life is made to one another and bow before God. And God's really going to bless you with that, open you up to that. I know Mike has been in that. I don't know if Mike's right there or not, but right now. But that whole thing about the marriage and the bride and getting ready for that, you know, making people ready for that place of commitment to Jesus, and that, you know, that whole thing of purity and before God. And teaching people that, and open up the door for people to understand that, and letting them see that. He's there too. Okay, yeah. So when I was mentioning that to you, I was thinking about Mike, because I know that's kind of that's one of Mike's things that he's talked about. He's been obsessed with that, and that's really a beautiful thing, because that whole realm of it's really a it's different. It means different things. One of the things that it means, the marriage, the bride thing, the marriage thing, is about the second coming of Christ, but it's much more than that. It's the preparation for that, the coming of Christ as far as the second coming goes, and also the coming of Christ when people die, when people get. But it's learning how to the bride of Christ realm. Now, God is. I think the anointing for the bride of Christ is probably. The mantle of that on Mike and you is probably more needed and more powerful than ever before and more activated than ever, because that realm is what God is trying to say right now, because he's preparing us for the most difficult time in the world, but the most blessed, holy time of the world, because we're married to him, because we're his bride. We're the bride. We're not here to We don't want to just date Jesus. We want to marry him. We want to commit our lives to him. We're not going to fornicate, you know, and have children out of wedlock. We want to have children, you know, under the covenant of God. And that whole realm about the church of Christ, the bride of Christ, having, you know, a lot of them live in fornication, spiritual fornication. And they have children, spiritual fornication, and it's not really commitment. The whole thing is not about commitment. It's about, yeah, let's try to get them in the church. Let's try to get that whole realm has done nothing but grow churches with a bunch of fornicating, unmarried people with, I'm talking about with spiritually with Jesus. And so that whole message really is going to dominate, I think, the culture, you know, and the kingdom culture big time. It's the message. It's the message that God is trying to say, you know, those that are married to me, those that are faithful and loyal to me, those who want me forever, that'll commit their life to me, I'm going to protect them during the tribulation, during the trouble time. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to use them. They're going to bring forth fruit, holy fruit, not bastards, illegitimate bastards, and that kind of thing in the church. But I'm going to bring forth a holy fruit that God's going to bless. So, yeah, I think the preparation for all that is really, really important and amazing. All right, 240-483. Who am I talking to? 240-483.
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie, let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for God. Thank you, Lord, for that commitment realm. I see like wounds in your legs, a wound in your leg or something, a wound in your leg. You know, the enemy tried to hinder your walk with him, with God, and tried to divert you, distract you, to keep you from, and not keep you from God in general, but keep you from God in specific. Keep you from, a lot of people have God in general, but God is looking for people for him in specifics. In other words, I'm just out here just like doing whatever. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven. There's much more to it than that. And God is like saying, you know, I'm calling for specifics, like, you know, I want you to, you know, like, some people, as long as I go to church, some people say, as long as I go to church, as long as I'm, you know, not cussing, drinking, smoking, chewing, and committing a lot of sin, then, you know, I'm okay. You know, so you have that realm of people, you know, and then you have the ones who are specifically called to do specific things. And God has called you to the prophetic realm. I mean, I don't even understand why. I don't know how it's going to work with you exactly. But I see you hanging out with people that because the prophetic realm is the realm, is the movement that talks about the last days. The last day is going to be obsessed. The obsession is going to be with the prophetic and the prophets in the prophetic realm, because we're going to find ourselves the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is going to come in through the prophets and through the mantle of the prophets, and so Christ the shepherd is going to be a shepherd of through the prophets more than anybody else, more than through the pastors. God bless the pastors more than the apostles. The apostles are amazing, but the last movement is going to be is the movement of the prophets. And so the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to try to distract you from that, try to keep you from that, because that's where your fulfillment is going to be. That's where your anointing is. That's where your anointing is and will be and will increase in. And when you're called to that, it's an end time calling. It's a it's for your my financial blessings. I mean, not coming from PGN so much, but just the way God blesses me is because I got in line with the prophet realm and the prophetic realm, and I just decided to dedicate my life to that. And people say, "Oh, you need more than the prophet realm." Yeah, well, but the prophet realm, if Jesus is manifested through the prophet realm, then Jesus is all I need. I mean, yes, he flows to the pastor, he flows to the apostle, he flows to all that stuff. But the prophet is the end time Jesus. That's what we're going to see more than anything. Oh, of course, Jesus and all the other, but the end time Jesus is the prophet Jesus. And so that movement is a God movement, and God's wanting you to see that. He wants to open up your eyes to that. Just like the prophet opened up the servant's eyes, Elisha opened up the servant's eyes to show him there's something about the prophet's mantle and the prophet's anointing that is going to be the warfare and the being outnumbered thing, which we are going to be by the one world system. The one world system is going to outnumber the body of Christ in a sense, not just in numbers, power, and the world power and money and that kind of thing. It's just going to appear that way. But the shepherd Jesus, the prophet Jesus, is going to just do just like he did when he walked in the earth. No matter what they did, they couldn't trip him up. No matter what they did, they couldn't stop him. No matter what they did, until it came for his time to die and give his life. And then that was a whole different thing. Then that was the purpose of God. But, so I don't even know what I'm saying here. What am I saying? I'm not sure what the word is saying here. But he's saying a lot. But so the whole prophet realm that God has called you to, he's going to show you that that's where your anointing is. That's even where your financial blessing is. Because when I stepped into the prophet realm and decided to dedicate my life to that, knowing that I could have been pastoring, I could have been evangelizing, he said, just focus on the prophet thing, Randy. Everything else will work out. The pastoral part of you, the evangelist part of you, the apostle part of you, all that will work out for you. But I want you to focus mainly on that because that's the end time movement. And so you've been called to that, Valerie. So just get used to it. And let the shepherd Jesus shepherd you and love you and bless you and provide for you financially. Because when I started stepping into it, then God just started, my finances started lining up. It was amazing. And I wasn't even trying to do it anymore. I try to give. I try to do all these things. And I'm trying to obey God with my money. I'm trying to obey God with doing what he wants me to do with. When I stepped into the prophet realm, I sought first the kingdom of God with me, with the kingdom of God, and his righteousness was right to what was right for me was the prophet realm. When I stepped into that, all those other things just started being added to me. All right, 920-53279, something like that.
Hi, it's Ann from Wisconsin.
Oh, hey, Ann. All right, again, nice to have you. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Jesus, for Ann. Amen. So the potential, there's something about potential. Everybody has potential, but not everybody activates their potential because the potential we have been given by God is for his will. It's not just to do something great. It's for his will. So when he gives you a potential for things, when you see potential in yourself, you see little glimmers of potential of this. Oh, yeah, I've had visions of this. I've seen this. And so God, the whole God realm with you and what I call the prophet realm of seeing, of knowing, of like Elisha, like you said, Elisha knew that there was more for them than there was against them. He opened up the servant side. So that whole prophet realm, the whole visions, the dreams, all that in the last days, I'm going to pour up my spirit and my son and my daughter, my son and daughter are going to prophesy. A young man is going to see visions. My old man is going to dream dreams. You know, the whole thing about that's just visions and dreams and the whole thing for you. God's going to really open that up with you, and you're getting glimmers. You've gotten glimmers of that. You kind of took a sneak peek into his glory and that with you. But as you yield yourself to God, to what God's doing, and you're going to find yourself. Because what blesses us is the gift of God in us, the specific gift of God. I'm going to talk about the power. The specific gift of God. When we focus on that, seek first the kingdom of God and his, if he just said seek first the kingdom of God, that would be like very vague. But when he says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, righteousness isn't just doing things, not smoking and drinking. I think that's just that's what righteousness. Righteousness is what's right for you. What's right for you ain't right for nobody else. What God has for you, ain't, he got to give it to anybody else, not for anybody else. But in order for you to activate that potential in you, that you have to seek first that not just the kingdom of God, but his righteousness. Things right for you. So God, open up that realm, open up that place, open up the prophetic things inside of her, break the seals inside of her, Jesus, where she can begin to know, begin to feel, begin to see, begin to sense. And like I say with Valerie, too, the same thing. When you start activating those things, when you let God activate those things, then provision just comes. Provision comes. People are seeking provision more than they are God because, you know, does God not want us to have provision? No, he wants to have us more than we need. God wants to give us more provision than we need, but it's the way we go after it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things get added. So when it's not being added, then we start going after it. All right? That's what I've done. I've done that many times. I still find myself trying to do it. Yeah. So, seeking first the kingdom. Hang on a second. Okay, God, what's up over here? So it seems like God just speaking about that right now for some reason. So I think that our provision, you know, we can either go out and get provision ourselves and just quote Scripture and believe God, or we can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or what's right for us specifically, and start stepping, not just talk about it, not just look at it, but step into it. And I know we're all struggling with that in different ways. So I know you're just like I am. In some ways I'm doing really good. In some ways I'm working on it. So as God's showing you how to work on it, you're going to find yourself in a position where God's just going to start bringing stuff to you. Like I think the time you had the bed thing show up at your house, your sister, I think that was a sign from God saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not just seek his kingdom, but what's right for you. And when you're doing that and you're walking in that, then, you know, more stuff is going to show up at your door. Yeah. So as you dedicate yourself to that and revisit that and ask God the process of how you want to do all that, you're going to find yourself being really, really blessed. It's all going to happen with ease. Amen. Seek first kingdom and all those things will be added. I want to show you the added realm. All right, Ann, God bless you. 585-436, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Anonymous.
Hi, Anonymous. All right, Anonymous. Okay, Anonymous, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God working the – I don't know if you heard my message on Monday, but if you get a chance to go back and listen to that, I really recommend it. And I very seldom do that, so I hope you don't take that lightly, but maybe you heard it, but it's about fear. It's about fear. About God delivering us from all of us, from the fear of things, the fear of stuff, the fear of loss. Because we all have, as long as we're in this life, we're going to continually live with the potential of not even knowing it, but we start fearing the loss of, like, we get money, we get wealth, we get friends, we get family, we get things. Or when's it going to be taken away from me? You know, the loss of that. But there's a fear of loss. And Jesus said, he told him, he said, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake, you'll gain life. So this whole thing about the fear, because when you first got into the fear of loss, God's dealing with every one of us, me, everybody I know, to one degree or the other, is dealing with the fear of loss of our life, the fear of loss of our children's lives, the fear of loss of our marriage, the fear of loss of our finances, the fear of loss of our provision, the fear of loss. It's always there. We're always dealing with it. And God really wants to take you through that. If you go back and listen to Monday's service, the first 30, 45 minutes, that really explained that the way God gave it to him. It's really, really cool. And the purpose of your valleys, the purpose of your trials. If you don't catch the purpose of your trial or your valley, you'll never come out to the other side of it. So how many times am I not coming out on the other side of it? you know, into the promises, because I didn't know what my valley was for. And the valley's always there. God's always doing something in us, and he takes us to a valley, not because we've messed up or because we've been bad, but because he does that to get us to seek him and to draw nigh to him and to find out, to evaluate ourselves, to examine ourselves by the Holy Spirit to see, you know, what we need to change. And that's what renewing of the mind is changing. And so God's really going to want to open you up to that, the fear of loss, the fear of, you know, what would happen if I became wealthy, would I fall away from God. I mean, all the different fears that we all have. And the sooner we get delivered from those fears, the more we're going to realize that, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows, I will fear no evil. It's about fearing evil. Evil taking over my stuff. Evil coming and getting me and killing me. Evil, you know, things happening. Evil thing, any kind of evil. My mind, losing my, you know, am I, you know, what am I losing? Am I losing my mind? Am I losing my favorite? What am I? It's all about that lost thing. And God's showing you how to never lose by walking through the valley and realizing that, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And the transition of the fear of evil, knowing he's with you, happens during the valley. And God's going to show you the process of that so you can never fail. Never have to fear. And because fear always draws the problem to happen to you. That's what fear always does. Job had issues with that. That's not why his trial came, as some people try to teach, but God set it up. But yes, he gave offerings for his family all the time because he was afraid they were going to fall away from God. There's a fear he had. And, you know, he had to walk through that. He walked out through the other side and, oh, you slay me, yet will I praise you. But he walked out on the other side. You know, God blessed him double. He lived 140 more years after that. Got double children, double money, double everything. Double anointing, all of it. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and he never feared evil, the prophet. But he did fear some things. So as he walked through the valley, he came out on the other side not fearing anymore. Everything Job went through, if every one of us could go through what Job went through, we'd never fear anything anymore because he went through just about everything. Fear of loss. He lost his family. He lost his money. All the things that are important to your provision, your family, your life. Like God allowed Satan to bring him right to the brink of death. The fear, he had to deal with the fear of death, the fear of loss of his life, the fear of loss of everything. He lost everything. And yet he went through. And so when he came on the other side, he never feared anymore because he just went through it, man. Like, what can I fear now? I've went through everything in a short time. Oh, my gosh. Now, everything I feared, I came through it, so I don't fear anymore. Any kind of anything. He was a great man of God. All right, 352-227. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Cynthia from Florida.
Oh, hi, Cynthia. All right, good to have you, Cynthia. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Cynthia. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the power of decisions, and the finishing things and the power of decision, the finishing of things and the power of decision. The decisions that we make allow us to finish things. And when we, you know, lose our guidance with the Lord in whatever fashion it is, every time I do that, I don't finish the thing that because I get distracted, you know. So the biggest thing with most of us, I think, is staying focused. Peter, if he'd have stayed focused on Jesus, the threat of his life through the storm, when the storms were getting, it was a threatening of his life. His life was being threatened, but the storm was getting closer, the wind was getting closer and stronger, and the fear of his life. He was dealing with fear, the fear of death, the fear of life, the fear of And so, so he sunk. He started sinking. The same thing. So when the whole lesson with that is keeping our focus on Jesus, and we keep our focus on him and guided by him, then we end up finishing things. When we finish things, Jesus said the whole thing. He said, "It's my Father. What pleases my Father is that I finish the work he gave me to finish." And believe me, finishing the work is the hardest thing. My gosh, finishing is the most difficult thing of all. And the finishing with Jesus was the worst time of his life, and that was the suffering he was going through, with these sufferings. His finishing had to do with being whipped to death, basically, being beaten. And so his finishing was took even more power to finish. And how he finished was in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the pressure, the great pressure that was on him in Gethsemane, because the pressure was upon the whole earth, as God was tricking a transition from death to life through Christ. Well, that pressure was on the disciples in the garden. They were all falling asleep because of the pressure. There's a lot of pressure. And Jesus was pressured so much that he was sweating. He's a great. So there's a lot of pressure going on. And so he had to stay on track. But the thing was trying to get him to lose his focus. You see, the focus was, you know, if there's any other way for this thing, can this thing pass from me, Father? He's trying to get his focus on something else. Even though his focus on it was healing the sick and raising the dead, more of them. What's wrong with that? Nothing. But it wasn't the focus of the Father. When we focus on the Father, and what he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, that keeping our focus on him, then we're able to finish the things that we start. And so God's wanting to really help you and restore and bring back everything where everything you're literally going to say, it is done. It's finished. It's finished. It was hard. It was like, man, like going to the cross, with like Jesus was, but you know what? It is done. I see you saying it is done. It is finished. Finished it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Finished it. Hallelujah. Done. In Jesus' name. Because I stayed focused. I said, even though I was getting distracted with any other way for this thing, can this thing pass from me? Can this cut pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will be. So God has built that within you, Cynthia, for that very purpose. So your focus can stay focused on the Father's will, even though it's difficult to finish the finishing things is the hardest part. Starting is easy. Finishing, wow. How many things I've not finished in my life at times because there's something about it. It's easy to start, easy to get going, but man, finishing, the whole mental thing that comes together about finishing something takes tremendous focus, and God's given you that ability to focus on that girl. So let him do it. Amen. Impart that to her in Jesus' name even more so. All right, 847-239. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right. Good to have you. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord, for the power to believe. You know, Bible says, you know, the one person said, I believe the father of that child, Jesus said, you know, can you heal my child or whatever it was? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. And God is showing you how to be, you know, how some areas you have to do that in, some areas you don't. But the areas that you do, to be honest about it, because the whole parable about Matthew 13, about the seed sowing, the sower sowing the seed in the different ground, different kinds of ground, the good ground was an honest heart. It was about an honest heart. So God is teaching us to have an honest heart, saying, well, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And instead of like hanging on to, you know, I believe. And God loves it. Jesus loved it when that man was honest with him and said, because honesty is a good soil. And not honesty of men, but honesty between us and God, honesty with what's really going on inside of us. And God's showing you how to be honest with him. Not that you're dishonest in any, I'm not saying that. But the honesty that God has for us to be honest, sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't talk like that, or you shouldn't be talking that negative stuff. Sometimes it can be negative stuff, but sometimes it's just pure really being honest about where I'm at and not deceiving myself and saying, I believe God. You know I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me in the areas that I'm struggling. And being honest with God, and that good soil, the seed of belief will be planted in you because you're saying, I believe, but help my unbelief, being honest. And the honesty is going to, your ground is going to be, your heart is going to be able to receive the seed to believe for the things that we say we believe, but we're not watching, it's not happening, because really we believe, but we have unbelief mixed with it. And because that man was honest with Jesus, God just miraculously, took care of the problem. It was amazing. And he did help his unbelief. He did. Sometimes things are not based on our belief, but God's. But at the same time, our thing is to be honest with God. We think if we tell God, I'm having trouble believing. You know, okay, well, when you get through, we get through with all that struggle, come back to me, and then I'll do it. No, he says, no, just be honest with me. I believe, but, you know, help my unbelief. You know, help my, I'm struggling over here. In reality, I believe, but I'm having struggle believing. So that opens up the realm of, you know, God being able to plant the seed of believing for the things you're struggling with so that you can believe them in all truth and all honesty, and they manifest themselves. And because I know your faith level is awesome. Amen. And God's going to show you how to manifest that faith to the fullest. God's trying to show you, Leslie, how to get everything you need, 100-fold. Walk into 100-fold means you get everything. Jesus got everything he prayed for. You know why? Because he totally lived in pure honesty before the Father. I don't know what to do, Jesus. Can you imagine saying you're God in the flesh, and you're saying, I really don't know what to do. I trust my daddy. That doesn't make sense. He was honest. He knew that if I don't do what my Father says, if I don't do what the Father says, then I'm going to miss it. I'm going to mess up. I can do something really great, but it's not going to be the great that Father wants me to do. His will is my meat, my food. So God's showing you how to walk in that 100-fold realm. That's what he's trying to take you to. Is that place of 100-fold. 100-fold. He's trying to take you to 100-fold. Amen. Amen. Okay. Where am I at? Okay, let's go here. Let's see. Okay. Let me go here. Okay. All right. 864-439. Who I talked to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Walter.
Hey, Walter. All right. Good to have you, Walter. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter. Lord, I thank you, Father, for God showing you how to mix your faith. The Bible says that in those days back then, they didn't mix their faith with works, or they didn't mix their faith with whatever it was in Hebrews. And so God's showing you how to mix your faith with certain things. Like God brings a situation up, like with your mom, whatever, the struggle with all that. And he's showing you the faith that you've used so wonderfully and so powerfully in other areas, he's going to show you how to mix your faith with the areas that you're struggling in, the areas that you're having a battle with, the areas that you seem to be failing in. You know, I don't think you're really failing in them, but I think you feel like failure because you've never really dealt with this. So you're having to take the same faith you've had for other things and mix your faith with God, what God has you doing right now. And when you do that, you're going to see results. You're going to find yourself flowing in the same, you know, anointing in other areas that you've done good in, because you're going to mix it, or you're going to apply your faith, the same faith for other things that you were successful in, to this. And God's showing you how to mix it, how to do it, because it's a new thing you're learning. You know, our faith, the faith of Christ, the words that God gives us, the things he's shown us, the victories we've had, builds our faith up. But learning how to apply the faith to new things, that's the big game changer. Right? Like many times I failed over and over again because I couldn't mix my faith with the things I was successful in with the new things I was facing, because I wasn't relating that to, well, yeah, my faith was strong when I did this. My faith was strong when I did that. Okay, it is, and it still is. God's showing you how to apply that faith to the situation so you can have victory, unceasing victory. Amen, in Jesus' name. And being able to, mixing your faith, is really, God showing you what he's doing in the thing you're not quite prepared for yet, how that's going to prepare you for things that you would have never been prepared for had you not gone through this thing with your mom. In other words, that thing, that situation, that valley is going to prepare you for things that when you come across other things where you're going like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Oh, yeah, I did what I did with my mom. I learned how to mix my faith with my works. Yeah, and bring a real powerful conquering with whole new levels that you might have failed in. But now, God's showing you how to mix all that together successful in every area. In Christ, amen. All right, 951-966.
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina. All right, Regina, good to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for favor and faith. Faith, favor, and failure. The failure of man. The man, watching man fail. We're gonna watch man and man's ways fail. And the faith and favor of God, watching man's ways fail. And going, man, I'm so glad that God brought me out of that. I'm so glad God brought me, you know, out of that situation and brought me through things. He brought me, when God brings you out, you know, sometimes it's because those situations are not going to be, because when you're dealing with other people, what other people can choose to do, disobey God if they want to. And so sometimes if God knows that they're not going to choose to do right, then he separates us from it. I mean, it's crazy, but that's what he does. And so you're going to stand back and you're going to stand still, Regina, and see the salvation of the Lord by the failure of man trying to do man with man's strength, with man's, you know, man, you know, think they can get enough people to agree with them that they're going to win or do something, and they're going to end up losing. That's going to come to failure. And you're going to see it. You're going to see the wicked. When I say wicked, I mean people who have rejected God. You're going to see the reward of the wicked, and with your own eyes. And God's going to go, see, I told you, you know, I've carried you. I've pulled you out. I pulled you out like Joshua pulled him out like a firebrand out of the fire. But you know, in a sense, and so. When you start seeing that and realizing that and see it fail, though they thought they won or winning, and when you see it fail, ultimately you're gonna realize that the favor and the faith of God inside you, what all he's done and what all's been going on and how he snatched you out. He picked you up because he knows what goes on in private and behind closed doors with people and the things that happen. And the decisions that they make and that they're going to make. And God already knows that. So what does he do? He snatches us out and then, you know, even uses the snatching out to train you, to show you his favor, even though it seems like sometimes that they have more favor than we do or you do. But you're going to see the favor of God. It's like Joseph. Joseph didn't seem favored when his brothers threw him into the pit and he was taken to Egypt. But he was a favored one. And being the favored one doesn't mean that everything always works out exactly like we think it's supposed to. But we go through all that suffering, and then we rule, and they come and they bow down, so to speak, and honor us that we, you know, came out and did what God said and did what was righteous. Righteous means what we did, that what God did, what he did for us in spite of ourselves. Not even Joseph thought he was supposed to bring his dream to pass. It was going to come to pass in Canaan, but God had a hold of him. He said, no, you know, you don't even understand. So he had to override him, overtake him, move him out of that situation, and get him on the way to the palace. And it sure didn't seem like favor, especially when he was in prison. It didn't seem like favor when Potiphar's wife lied on him. It didn't seem like favor, but it was God's favor all the whole time. So Joseph later saw that. He saw how God positioned him in that, even in the prison, and what the people did that betrayed him, the woman who betrayed, who lied about it, and had him put in prison. You know, it's all that. He saw that all as the design of God, and it healed his heart, caused his bitterness and his pain to go away, and be washed away, and God blessed him, and he watched the failure of everything every man did, all his brothers did. They came to failure, basically. I mean, they came back to him and depended on him for food and clothing. It's amazing. Talk about reversal, man. Role reversal big time. Roe versus Wade. That's an abortion thing. Roe versus, it's like the role reversal. Yeah, the role reversal. Amen. I don't even know what that means, but Roe reversal. Anyway. All right. All right. 682-305.
Hi, Randy. This is Maggie from Dallas, Texas.
This who? Maggie?
Maggie, yes.
Maggie. Hi, Maggie. Okay. All right, Maggie, nice to have you. Thank you, Jesus, for Maggie. Lord, we thank you for Maggie. God, I thank you, Father, for a ring on your, I see a ring on your finger. I don't know if that's that spiritual thing. I don't know what that is exactly, but I see a ring on your finger, like marriage. I don't know if it's married to God or marriage, the marriage realm, the love realm, the love fest, you know, the marriage, the wedding feast of the Lord. And, you know, you say the best wine for last, and the Lord wants to show you that very thing you've been called to the last. You say the best for last instead of the other way around. It was a reversal in that sense too, because what was saved for last was the best. The best wasn't before. It may have looked okay. It may have looked like the best. It may look good, but the best. He's saving you for the best. The best for last realm. He's going to really show you that whole realm of the wedding feast and the wine, water being turned into wine, where God got involved in the wedding. God got involved in the marriage. God got involved in that whole situation and created the last, because they always brought up, according to the scripture, the tradition was they always brought up the cheap wine when everybody's already loaded, you know. That way nobody could tell. But no, God didn't do that. He didn't take advantage of the situation. He didn't, you know, he brought up the best for last, and they still recognize the best for last. They're kind of like, oh, my God, what is it? And God's going to do the best in the last part of your life. Your greater, your latter glory is going to be greater than your former. And the last is going to be better than, much greater Your latter is going to be greater than the former, right? In Jesus' name, I think the last is the last is greater than the quality is better than the first, amen. Than the previous thing, in Jesus' name. There's something about that talk right there. I don't know. I want to say that to you, in Jesus' name. So God's trying to show you how to come out from among them, and know that He's preserved you, saved you for the last. And the last of your life is going to be better than the first. God's provision, God's, you know, product, the products that you're going to be involved in, the things, the products are things that are put together for purpose and for a vision and for, you know, to products, fix things. Products takes care of the products, you know, like a product, like a food product, like some kind of something that is made to help someone, the products that are going to help people. And you're going to be a part of that somehow or another in Jesus' name. I don't even know what I'm saying because I don't even know you, but in Jesus' name, open that up, God, for Maggie, in the name of Jesus. Or let her look to the future. Let her realize that she's been born for the future. In Jesus' name, you protect her for the future. You protect her that she could be in the last, but she's going to be the greatest. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the gifts of God are going to be greater, and the power of God is going to be greater, and the love of God is going to be greater, and the love of friendship with God. He's going to call you His friend. God's going to say, I'm calling you my friend. I call you friend. And your friendship is going to give people the better wine, the God wine, the love fest, marriage realm wine of friendship. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Boy, wow, that was wild. What a wild night tonight. Not a wild night, but a great night. Awesome night. Went a lot of kind of different kind of places. Dear God, it was amazing. All right. Did I already do 682-305? I already did 682-305, right? Did that, actually. when it gets late, I get my brain. My brain. Okay, what happened there? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, y'all. What did I do here? Okay. All right, I think that was my last caller for the night. So I think I got everybody with their hand that we ministered to every person. We will minister to when you call in on Wednesday nights. We just started doing that, a year ago or so, something like that. And that way we never miss anybody. All you have to do is give me your name and what state you're from or whatever, or what city you're from. And we'll minister to you no matter what, no matter who you are. I don't really get to know who you are, but so, all right, join in on that. Get your friends to call in and tell them they don't have to tell me anything. I don't need to know anything. Just their name and what state they're from. And they can give me a fake name if they want. I really don't even care about that. I just need something to call them by. All right, call them to dinner. Call them to supper. Call them to eat with the Lord. All right, thank you, Jesus. Okay, I guess that's it for me tonight, y'all. I'm going to call it a night. Minister to everybody. Tomorrow's Thursday, so we'll be taking communion and praying over offerings, those that many people have already given during the week. There have been a lot of people already given. Thank you for that. Some will give tomorrow night, and we'll be praying over all those offerings. And thank you for everything you do for PGN. We appreciate it. All right, good night, everybody. Bye-bye.